Batting sixth and playing third base, Charlie Neal, who drove in three runs in the first game. Batting in the seventh position and catching, Norm Schering. Norm replacing Chuchu Coleman in the starting lineup. Batting eighth and playing shortstop, Al Moran. And on the mound for the New York Mets, Galen Sisco. For the Milwaukee Braves, the center fielder Ty Klein will lead off. Batting second, playing second base, Frank Bowling. He was a fellow hit into the double play in the top of the ninth inning to give Roger Craig relief and give the Mets a chance to put away the third straight victory. Batting in the third position, Hank Aaron, who had a home run in the first game. The home run is third of the year. Hank now tied for the National League leading home runs with three. All three of his home runs coming against the Mets. Batting in the fourth position and playing third base, Eddie Matthews. Batting fifth at first base, Norm Larker. The sixth batter will be the left fielder, Lee May. Batting seventh and catching in the ballgame, Bill Crandall. Batting in the eighth position and playing shortstop, Roy McCullen. And the ninth batter will be the pitcher, Lou Burdett. Right now, the two teams warming up on the sidelines, ready to go on this final game of the four-game series. The Mets will move on to play in Philadelphia tomorrow night. Scheduled to pitch for the Mets will be Don Rowe on his first starting assignment. He'll be opposed by Paul Brown. After the Philadelphia Philly game, the Mets move on to Chicago for a two-day game. And they go over to Pittsburgh for a three-game series on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then the Mets return home for a long homestand, starting off the homestand against the Los Angeles Dodgers. They'll play the Dodgers a night game on the 29th of April and a night game on the 30th. After the Dodgers, the Houston Colt 45s come in for a two-game series, a night game on Wednesday, May 1st, and a day game on Thursday, May the 2nd. After that, it'll be the San Francisco Giants in town, first for Willie Mays night on the night of May the 3rd, that's Friday night, then a Ladies' Day single game on Saturday, and a big doubleheader on Sunday. After the Giants leave down, the Mets have an off day, take on the Philadelphia Phillies in a three-game series, the Cincinnati Reds in a four-game series, and then they go on the road again. So if you haven't made your ticket purchases for these big games coming up on the next homestand, the Mets have three convenient ticket locations for you. Downtown at Grand Central Station at the foot of the Vanderbilt Avenue ramp there. Also in the Pennsylvania Station in the Long Island waiting room. You may pick up your tickets right here at the Polo Ground 7 days a week. The advanced reservation window is open for your convenience. And you can also make ticket reservations at any of the Howard Cole stores throughout the metropolitan area. If you care to do so, you may mail in for your ticket. Simply write Ticket Manager, Polo Grounds, New York, 39 New York. Box seats are $3.50, reserve seats $2.50, and be sure to enclose an additional 25 cents to take care of the handling charges. While Galen Sisco has now completed his warm-up pitches, talking at home plate now as Lou Burdett continues to throw for the Milwaukee Braves, is manager Bobby Bragan and Casey Stengel. The umpires for the game today, this second game of the doubleheader, behind home plate Stan Landis, at first base Ed Sudol, at second base Al Foreman, at third base John Gorman. Lights are on here at the Polo Ground, still some sunshine left. It's still good enough for the hitters. Now Casey Stengel comes back, and the New York Mets take the field. Braves will send up Ty Klein, Frank Bowling, and the right fielder Hank Aaron against Galen Sisco as he makes his trip to the mound. In the outfield for the Mets, Frank Thomas in left field, in center field, Jim Hickman, in right field, Duke Snyder, the same outfield that started the first game.
In the infield, the same infield, Johnny Neal at third base. At shortstop, Al Moran. At second base, Ron Hunt. At first base, Ed Cranepool. The only change in the lineup, the battery for the Mets, Norm Sherry will catch in the game, and Gavin Sisco will pitch. Mets won the first game 8-5. What a ball game that was. You couldn't ask for much more. They have played three exciting baseball games against the Milwaukee Braves. The first one they won with a two-run rally in the bottom half of the ninth inning. The second one was a fine pitching effort by Al Jackson, a 3-1 win. And right here, the Mets scored five runs to take over the lead and win it 8-5 in the first game of this doubleheader. Wind still blowing in strongly from right field. It's a factor in the game. And now around the infield goes the ball and back to the pitcher, Galen Sisco, and the game is about to get underway. Ty Klein, the leadoff man for the Milwaukee Braves. Ty was 1-for-4 in the first game. He had a single to center field off of Jay Hook, who was a starting pitcher. He bats from the left-hand side, and here's the first pitch of the game. Fastball through for strike one. Klein has 10 hits and 48 trips to the plate, batting 208. The on-deck batter, Frank Bowling. As Sisco goes into the windup and throws the second pitch, a big overhand curve, top down to first base. Eddie Cranepool picks it up and he makes the dive. Eddie Cranepool, coming across to the line, had to make a diving, moving tag to get Ty Klein. He got him just before he got to the bag. Called out by Ed Sudol, out number one. That will bring up Frank Bowling. Frank has 13 hits and 46 trips to the plate. He's batting 283. Frank has had a total of 10 hits off the New York Mets so far this year. Here's the first pitch to the right-hand batter. Curve in the dirt dug out by Norm Sherry. It was Bowling who hit into a double play to end the ball game. The ever-dangerous Hank Aaron was the on-deck batter, so it was a big out, a big double play for Roger Craig on the mound. Bowling 1-for-5 in the first game, has a 10-game hitting streak going. There's a fastball looked at, called strike one. One ball and one strike. Galen Sisco on the mound. And now back to work, and he gets Bowling with a fastball inside, off the hands for a foul ball. He jammed him good there. This is Sisco's fourth game. He has worked in 10 previous innings, giving up 8 hits, allowing 5 earned runs, and his record is 0-1. In the 10 innings, he has struck out 5 and walked 3. He has a 4.50 ERA. One ball and two strikes. As Galen Sisco works to Frank Bowling. One man out here in the top of the first inning, no score. And the pitch back, a fastball just off the outside corner. Norm Sherry came out to throw to Charlie Neal. He thought he had a strikeout. Sisco, former Ohio State backfield man. Looks for the sign. It's 2-2. Now he goes to work. And there's a fastball too long. That fills it out at 3 balls and 2 strikes. Ed Cranepool at first base. At second base, Ron Hunt. The shortstop, Al Moran. And the third baseman, Johnny Neal, all deep. Here's the 3-2 pitch. A foul ball out of play. Mets had a total of 7 base hits in the first game. The Milwaukee Braves came up with 8. But the Mets outscored the Braves 8-5. Three balls and 2 strikes as Cisco goes into the windup. And the pitch hit foul again. Charlie Neal goes over. He backhands the ball in foul territory. That holds the count at 3-2. In the first game, the Braves used 4 pitchers. The losing pitcher was Claude Raymond. The Mets used a total of 3. The winning pitcher was Ken McKenzie. He now is 2-0 in relief. Ken has a major league record for the Mets of 7 wins and 4 losses. Galen Cisco working on the mound now. And he comes back to bully. There's a line drive to center field. Hickman moving over, and he makes the catch. A sliding, diving catch by Jim Hickman for out number 2. While we wait for Hank Aaron to come up, we'll pause for station identification.
WGY Schenectady.
Bob Kiner along with Bob Murphy and Lindsey Nelson from the polo ground. 2 men out now in the top of the first inning, no score. And the batter is Hank Aaron. Hank had 2-for-4 in the first game, one of them a home run. And he looks at a good curveball by Cisco for strike 1. Galen Cisco has a major league curve. It's a big rolling curve right off the top. He looked good all spring. And he looked good in his first starting appearance against the Braves. Now the 1 strike pitch back to Hank Aaron. Fastball right through for strike 2. Hank Aaron was 16 hits and 46 trips, a .348 average. He has driven in 8 runs for the Milwaukee Braves. Now Cisco back with a fastball on the outside corner, called strike 3. So Galen Cisco picked up his first strikeout to retire the side. In the inning for the Braves, no runs, no hits, no errors. And the score at the end, a 1/2 inning of play, the Braves nothing, the New York Mets coming to bat. Come along as we tune in. Melodious tune.
We belong to the rainbow dish. That's the nation society.
My baby and me.
Oh, we belong to the rainbow dish. That's the nation society.
Now, I do not exaggerate. We think that rainbow's simply great. I say the flavor's clean, clear through.
I say it's brisk and sparkling too.
I say it's beer, and beer should taste. So it's beer that requires in haste.
It's quite a buy, and I will tell you why.
But baby and me,
we belong to the rainbow beer. That's the nation society.
Join the fan club. Try Rheingold Extra Dry. It's brisk, bright, and clean clear through. It's beer as beer should taste.
It's not bitter, not sweet. It's a dry flavor treat.
Won't you try Extra Dry Rheingold beer?
All the noise in the background for Jim Hickman. It was his grand slam home run that won the ball game for the New York Mets against the Milwaukee Braves in the first game of this doubleheader. Jim had 1 hit in 3 times up, but he drove in 5 of the 8 runs scored. So he is coming to bat now for the first time. Jim has had 9 hits and 29 trips to the plate. And he is batting an even .310. On the mound now for the Milwaukee Braves, 36-year-old Lou Burdette. He's from Sarasota Springs, Florida, 6'2", 190 pounds. 1963 now. So far, he has won 2 and lost none. In 62, he had a record of 10 wins and 9 losses. He has won a total of 175 games in his lifetime. Against the Mets, he has won 1 and lost 1 lifetime. One of those wins coming in the Milwaukee series this year. And here's the first pitch to Jim Hickman, a strike call in the outside corner. Lou Burdette, a right-hander, working to the right-handed batter, Jim Hickman. Bottom half of the first inning, no score. Now a time called as Home plate umpire, Stan Landis, looks at the ball. Only four other active pitchers have won more games than Lou Burdette. Of course, Team Bates, Warren Spahn, Robin Roberts, Billy Pierce, and Whitey Ford. Now the right-hander with a one-strike pitch, a fastball on the outside corner for strike two. It'll be Jim Hickman, Ron Hunt, and Duke Sider against the right-hander here in the bottom half of the first inning. Now Burdette with a two-strike pitch. It's fouled away out of play, and the count stays at 0-2. Here's a final score. Jim Rowland of the Minnesota Twins pitched a three-hit shutout over the Chicago White Sox. The Twins winning 7-0. The losing pitcher was Fisher. Allison and Gorey home runs in that game. The Los Angeles Angels defeated Kansas City 6-2 as Don Lee turned in a seven-hitter. The losing pitcher, Bosfield, Torres, and Wagner home runs in that. Right here, no score. Bottom half of the first is Burdette comes back to Hickman. And there's a ball hit on one hop down to the shortstop, Roy McMillan. He overhands the first, out number one. And coming up to bat now, Rod Hunt. Hunt playing at second base, bats from the right-hand side. Ron was 0 for 2 in the first game. He walked twice and was hit by a pitch ball. He was hit by a pitch ball right after Jim Hickman had hit the Grand Slam home run. He's a former Milwaukee player. Ron has 6 hits and 18 trips to the plate. That's a .333 average. And Burdette's first pitch, a sidearm fastball that's outside for ball one. Lou Burdette, born in Nitro, West Virginia. And the 1-0 pitch swung on and missed for strike one. One ball and one strike. Lou's first pro year was 1947. In 1951, he appeared in the major leagues for the first time. He was at one time a Yankee player. He was traded by the Yankees for Johnny Sain. There's a sharp line drive hauled out of the air by Roy McMillan. That ball really kicked, but McMillan was right in front of it. Two men out. Now the batter is Duke Snyder. The Duke was 0 for 5 in the first game. He lined one out to right field in the fifth inning of the first game for his real bid for a base hit. He bats from the left-hand side. He has 7 hits and 37 trips to the plate. No score, bottom half of the first inning. And Snyder looks at a fastball, through for strike one. Burdette now into the windup. And back to the plate. Snyder with a hard swing misses for strike two. 0-2 to Duke. The on-deck batter, Frank Thomas. Lou Burdette, famous for the 1957 World Series. He alone pitched the Braves to their first World Championship. Three times he started, three times he finished, and three times he won. Twice by shutout. In the three games he won, he posted a 0.67 earned run average. There's a pitch just outside the slider. One ball and two strikes. Up to last year, Lou Burdette had averaged 19 wins for 6 seasons. His record last year, 10-9. Now the 1-2 pitch to Duke Snyder. Hit up in the air to center field. Ty Klein broke back. Now he moves in. And he makes the catch to retire the side. Three up and three down for both sides in the first inning. And the score at the end of one inning to play, no score. All the Mets go on a fairly short road trip and then return here to play in the Polo Grounds in a real big homestand. They'll be taking on first the Los Angeles Dodgers. They'll play the Dodgers in the first two night games of the year on April 29th and 30th. And, of course, the Dodgers will bring in their big pitching staff of Don Drysdale and Sandy Koufax. Sandy Koufax is off to a great start. And it looks as though his finger, which sidelined him for such a long time last year and kept him from being a real big winner, is okay once again. Of course, Drysdale was a big winner last year. Also with the Dodgers, Tommy Davis, Maury Wills, Bill Scourin playing in the National League for the first time. Ron Fairley, Willie Davis, Frank Howard. Frank Howard hit a home run for the Dodgers in the game the other day, and that was the first home run and the only home run the whole ball club has picked up in 11 games up to today. They had gone 338 times at bat without a home run. Dodgers in here on the 29th and 30th, and don't forget to make your ticket purchases early for this big series. It's going to be a big one. Ticket offices at Pennsylvania Station, Grand Central Station, and right here at the advanced reservation window at the Polo Grounds. On your way out of the ballpark, if you're here listening, stop on by. They'll be open. Well, we're moving now to the top of the second inning. No score. And coming up is Eddie Matthews. Eddie had two hits and four times up. That was in the first game, and he looks at the first pitch high for ball one. The two hits gave Eddie Matthews a consecutive game batting streak of 10 games. He's tied with Frank Bowling in that department for the club leadership, the longest streak of the year. Now the 1-0 pitch by Galen Sisco. It's outside for ball two. Two balls and no strikes. Eddie Matthews leading off for Milwaukee here in the top of the second. The on-deck batter, Norm Larker, he'll be followed by Lee May. Galen Sisco, a right-hander, worked 1-2-3 in the first inning, striking out Hank Aaron. Now Sisco back and outside. It's ball three. Three balls and no strikes. Mets looking for a doubleheader victory here. And there's a pitch outside for ball four. So Sisco puts his first man on, and it will bring up Norm Larker.
I present position, number nine. First baseman, Norm Larker. Number nine.
Matthews, with his walk, keeping his batting average at .395. He has 17 hits and 43 trips to the plate. And now Norm Larker, a .286 hitter, 6 for 21 in the batter's box. He bats from the left-hand side. There's a drive to center field, a base hit. Coming on is Hickman. He takes it on the first hop, and Matthews holds at second base. The ball gets away from Al Moran coming in, but no move up. And now the Braves have their first threat going. Runners at first and second base, no one out, and Lee May coming up.
Number 24, left fielder, Lee May.
Lee May, 0 for 4 in the first game, batting .071. He has one hit and 14 trips to the plate, but that one hit was a big one that beat the Mets in a ball game in Milwaukee. A home run in the bottom half of the ninth inning. May batting from the left-hand side, and here's the first pitch from Galen Sisco. Good curveball, hit down on the ground, foul. Rainpool comes up with the ball by the bag in foul territory. Strike one. That curveball right in on the hands, and May broke his bat. He'll have to get another one. In other games in the National League, Philadelphia defeated St. Louis 4-3 in 10 innings. In the second game, St. Louis leads 8-4 after 3.5. Cincinnati defeated Pittsburgh 8-3. And Houston now trails Los Angeles, the Dodgers leading by a score of 8-0 after 4.5 innings. Now Galen Sisco with a one-strike pitch. It's inside for ball one. At San Francisco, the Chicago Cubs continue to play good ball. They lead the Giants by a score of 4-1 after 8 innings of play in the first game of a doubleheader. They defeated Billy Pierce for the first time yesterday. He had not lost a game in Candlestick Park in 14 games. Should say 14 wins. That's the action in the National League. Right here, no score. No one out top of the second. There's a big curve. It's inside. Ball two. Two balls and one strike. Lights on here at the Polar Grounds. It's starting to get just a little bit on the twilight side. First game played in alternate sunshine and then sort of cloudy type weather. We had a few showers. Mets really showered the Milwaukee Braves in the ninth inning with five big runs. They won it 8-5. There's a foul ball, and Lee May stays at 2-2. In the American League, the Yankees defeated Washington 7-6. Detroit knocked off Boston 5-2. Cleveland lost to Baltimore 7-0. In the second game, Cleveland leads 1-0 after 3.5. And the Twins shut out the Chicago White Sox 7-0. Final game in the American League, final score in, L.A. 6, Kansas City 2. It's two balls and two strikes now as Galen Sisco comes back to Lee May. And he misses high with a fastball. A full count at 3-2. Runners at first and second. A big pitch. The on-deck batter is Dale Crandall. Milwaukee Braves with a record of 7 wins at home and 5 losses on the road. Hunt now sneaking in back of the runner at second base, Eddie Matthews. Now he moves back to the second base position. Matthews didn't know he was there. He was standing right on the bag. Ronald Kenneth Hunt, the second baseman. Now the 3-2 pitch by Galen Sisco. Moran trying to hold the runner there. Here's a ground ball hit down to second. Hunt comes up and it goes to second in time. The first in time, a double play. Hunt, a fine play. The runners were going. He had very little chance at second base to get Norm Larker there, but he got the ball to the shortstop, Al Moran, in time. Moran then completed the play to first base, and the Mets now have two men out. On the play, Eddie Matthews moved to third, and it brings up Dale Crandall. Well, the Mets in the first game had two double plays, but one of them the biggest play of the day, a double play to end the ball game. Now they have pulled off their third double play of the day. Also a big play for Galen Sisco. And with two outs, a runner at third, the batter is Dale Crandall. Dale did not play in the first game. He has one hit and 11 times up. And he fouls the first pitch back in the screen for strike one. No score. Eddie Matthews at third base. The only base runner in the ballgame to get that far. Two men out here in the top of the second inning. Now Sisco in the windup and back with a one-strike pitch. A broken bat ball hit down to the shortstop. Al Moran digs it out, goes to first, and plenty of time to retire the side. In the inning for the Braves, no runs on one hit. No errors, one walk, one man left. And the score at the end of 1.5 innings of play. The Braves nothing. The Mets, nothing. Well, let's stay right on the subject of baseball and see if you have the answer to this Rheingold riddle. Let's suppose the batter hits a long fly ball down the, well, right field line. Right fielder comes over to the line in an attempt to make the catch. With his feet in fair territory, he extends his hands over the foul line and drops the ball. Feet in fair territory, ball drops in foul territory. What's the answer? Well, the correct ruling is foul ball. The position of the ball in relation to the foul line is the determining factor. So foul ball would be the correct ruling in this case. Now here's a ruling, a rule of thumb. That's correct in any case. If you want beer as beer should taste, the one to order is Rheingold Extra Dry. And those two words, extra dry, tell you why.
Yes, sir. They tell you that Rheingold has a taste all its own. Brisk and bright and clean, clear through. Why don't you enjoy some right along with the ball game as we move to the bottom half of the second inning. For the Mets against Lou Burdett, it'll be Frank Thomas, Ed Cranepool, and Charlie Neal. Frank betting in the cleanup spot. Lou in the first inning worked 1-2-3. He got Hickman on a ground ball to short, Ron Hunt on a line drive to short, and Duke Snider on a fly ball to center field. Now Frank Thomas steps in. Del Crandall taking plenty of time to put on his catching paraphernalia, now out to the catcher's circle. All set to go, giving the signs to Lou Burdett. Frank in the first game had 2 hits and 4 times up. He now has 5 in the year and 29 times at bat. He's looking for his first home run. And the first pitch here in the bottom half of the second is hit right back to the mound, a one hopper. Burdett has to wait for the first baseman Larker to get there. He takes it with one hand, out number one. So Frank is out on one pitch, and Ed Cranepool comes to bat. Cranepool with a long triple to start off the eighth inning and give the Mets a chance to win the ball game. He had 2 hits and 3 times up, and he now has 7 for 22 in his major league career here this year. That's a 318 average. Ed batting from the left-hand side. He's got the outfield deeper now than earlier in the series. Hank Aaron in right field is right back there now. He's playing him with plenty of respect. There's a strike call on a change of pace. Cranepool has 1 major league home run to his credit in his career. That came in this series. Now Burdett, a right-hander, back to the plate. Ball hit right back to the mound, knocked down by Burdett. He has time to pick it up, throws to first in time, and Lou now has 2 assists here in the bottom half of the second inning. 2 up, 2 down, and now Charlie Neal. Charlie had a big day in the first game. He had 2 hits in 4 times up, driving in 3 runs. Charlie now on the year has 6 hits and 38 trips to the plate. His 2 RBIs, I should say 3 RBIs in the first game, his first 3 of the year. And the first pitch to the right-hand batter is swung on a miss for strike one. Lou Burdett, number 33. On the mound for the Milwaukee Braves. No score, bottom half of the second. There's a drive to right. It's going to be a base hit. Hank Aaron takes it on 1 bounce. So Charlie Neal continues to hit well. That's his 3rd hit in this doubleheader, and all 3 to right field. That was a line shot. And the Mets have their first base hit off Lou Burdett. And the batter coming on is Norm Cherry. Has 3 hits this year, one of them a home run against the Milwaukee Braves. 3 for 14. He bats from the right-hand side. Norm Larker at first base, holding tight against Charlie Neal. It's all even at 1 apiece, no score. There's the throw to first. Neal with a short laid back easily. Burdett set and comes to the plate. Cherry swings and misses, strike one. Lou Burdett has pitched 1 no-hitter. That came against the Philadelphia Phillies. He and Warren Spahn have teamed up for quite a pitching staff for the Braves over the past 6 or 7 years. Now the right-hander sets again and comes back to the plate. There's a pitch inside. It's one ball and one strike. Choo-choo Coleman caught the first game. Al Moran in the on-deck circle now. There's a pitch way outside. Del Crandall backhands the ball. Two balls and one strike. Joe Torre caught the first game for the Milwaukee Braves. Torre scored the last run that Milwaukee scored. That came when he scored from second base in a wild pitch. And it looked as though it might be a real big run. There's a foul ball up toward the radio booth out of play. So the count stays at two balls and two strikes. Winning pitcher of the first game was Ken McKenzie. He now has a 2-0 record for the Mets. Losing pitcher was Claude Raymond. Claude Raymond was pitching when the Mets got their hit to win two games in the ninth inning. The loser for the first loss was Frank Funk, who had put the winning run on base, and Raymond was not charged. He was charged in the second game. There's a foul ball. Out of play again. So the count stays at 2-2. Just before coming here, Claude Raymond had picked up a win in relief for the Milwaukee Braves over the Philadelphia Phillies. That came in the 10th inning. Two balls and two strikes, two men out, no score. Bottom half of the second inning, Charlie Neal at first base. Tomorrow when the Mets take on the Philadelphia Phillies, game time will be at 8 o'clock. We'll come on the air at 8 o'clock. Game time is 8:05. It'll be Don Rowe against Paul Brown. Now again, the 2-2 pitch. There's a little pop-up in foul territory by first base. Norm Larker chasing. He makes the catch to retire the side. In the inning for the Mets, they pick up their first hit, score no runs, leave one man on, and the score at the end of one inning to play. The Braves nothing, the New York Mets nothing. Well, manager Casey Stengel has really gone with these young fellows in this series, and they have really come through. Eddie Cranepool with a home run, a triple, and a couple of hits. Ron Hunt driving in two runs to win a ball game for the Mets. So they have a lot of new faces on the ball club, and they've been doing quite a good job. You know, the Mets also have a brand new official song called Meet the Mets. And I'm sure many of you fans have heard it already in the radio. Today, when they played it after the first game, everybody here at the ballpark joined in to sing it. This catchy 45 RPM record with two versions of the song, one with a vocal and the other instrumental, is now available. As there are only a limited number of first edition records available, I'm sure that you'll want to get on the bandwagon and get yours right away. As a baseball fan, you'll want this highly prized souvenir in your collection. To obtain your copy of Meet the Mets record, send $1 to Mets Official Song, Polo Grounds, New York 39, New York. I know, Slingy, you joined in down there when they played that after that first game, too.
Yes, matter of fact, I've been working on that to see if I can't get a duet started with Bobby Bregan, and by night he may be willing to join me.
Listen, the way things are going for him right here at the Polo Grounds, he doesn't want to meet any Mets. Three losses in a row. We're in the fourth game now as we move to the top of the third. No score for either side, and coming up now, the Milwaukee Braves. It'll be Roy McMillan, Lou Burdett, and Ty Cline against Galen Sisko. Galen has worked through two innings now. He has given up one hit. That was to Norm Larker, a single to center field. He has struck out one and walked one. And now Galen Sisko into the windup, and his first pitch here in the third inning is inside a ball. Here's the final score. The Chicago Cubs again top the San Francisco Giants, this time by a score of 4-1. Dick Ellsworth, the winning pitcher. Fisher, the loser. One home run in that game. Kenny Hux, that came in the fourth inning. There's a pitch low for ball two. Cubs 4 runs on 10 hits. The Giants 1 run, only 6 hits. Cubs are really getting good pitching so far this year. Here's the 2-0 pitch to Roy McMillan, a fastball through for a strike. In fact, all through the National League, the pitching has really been predominant. Which is usually the case in the early part of the season. Here's the 2-1 pitch to McMillan. It's low for ball three. 3 balls and 1 strike. Although you have to say, the weather has certainly been real good so far during the early part of this spring. Usually much colder, and the hitters have much more trouble. Now the 3-1 pitch. Fouled away. While we wait for a new ball to be put in play, we'll pause for station identification.
You're attuned to WGY, 810 on your radio dial, Schenectady.
Ralph Kiner along with Lindsey Nelson and Bob Murphy from the Polograph. It's the top of the third inning, no one out, no score in the ballgame. Now the 3-2 pitch by Cisco, bounced down to third, a tough chance for Charlie Neal. He comes in, throws to first base, not in time. Charlie Neal came in, picked the ball up with his glove hand, transferred it to his bare hand, and threw to first, but not in time. That ball, a real tough chance. It hugged the dirt area going down the third base line. Ball gave no indication of it moving to the foul side, so Charlie made the play. A base hit for Roy McMillan, and now the batter will be Lou Burdett. Neal at third base looking for the possible bunt. Second base hit given up by Galen Cisco. Now Cisco goes to first base. Tagged by Craneful. Made after McMillan got back to the bat. Braves with no runs on 2 hits now. Mets have no runs and 1 hit. Here comes the play. It's inside. Ball one. Burdett had to jump out of the way to keep from getting hit. He had squared around the bunt. Milwaukee got their first man on in the second inning and also their second man on, but failed to score. A double play turned in helped keep them from denting the scoring column. There's a bunt attempt. Strike one. 1 ball and 1 strike. One strike, no one out. Galen Cisco, a very slow worker on the mound. He was acquired from the Boston Red Sox. Now he's set and goes to first base. Lou Burdett is standing at the plate as though he might hit away. He's giving a good decoy if he's not going to. Now the 1-1 pitch. He squares around, bunts, a good bunt. Picked up by Cranepool. He slides and can't. He can't throw to second, but he goes to first in time. Cranepool might have let that ball go to second. He got in there in a hurry, but as he picked the ball up, his foot slipped from underneath him. He couldn't make a throw, and then he had to go to first base. And Lou Burdett is out on a perfect sacrifice bunt. Perfect as far as the scorebook is concerned. And now with one out, the batter's Ty Klein. Was out on the ground ball to first base his first time up. He bats from the left-hand side. He has 10 hits and 49 trips to the plate. Charlie Neal, very shallow at third, and there's the ball fouled out of play for strike one. Mets won the first one, 8-5, with 5 runs in the bottom half of the 8th inning. They now have a record in the Polo Grounds of 3 wins and 2 losses.
Francisco with a one-strike pitch to the left-hand batter. High curveball up too high for ball one. One ball and one strike. One ball and one strike. Galen Sisco working for the New York Mets in the top of the third. No score. Braves have yet to win a ball game on the road. Now Sisco starts to work, but Klein steps out of the batter's box. Outfield playing shallow against the left-hand batter. Here's a curve, hits the left field. Frank Thomas moves in a step and goes back. He's there and he makes the catch. Halfway, Roy McMillan. He goes back to second. Two men out now, and the batter's Frank Bowling. Bowling lined to center field his first time up. He has a 10-game hitting streak going. He also has 10 hits and 24 times at bat against the Mets pitchers. His overall average for the season, 277, 13 for 47. Frank Bowling, a veteran of 7 years in baseball in the major leagues. He started his career with the Detroit Tigers. And he looks at a good curveball right at the knees for strike one. Sisco right off the top of the curve. Out in front, 0-1 to Frank Bowling. Sisco back, this time with a curve that's low, and it's one ball and one strike. Norm Sherry had to block the ball in the dirt, holding at second base, Roy McMillan. Roy McMillan is quite a ball player for the Milwaukee Braves. And he's held together with bailing wire. He's had just about everything happen to him that has happened to any ball player. He's had a broken collarbone, a broken shoulder, a broken wrist. He's had a spinal operation. He's had a permanently separated ankle as a result of a fracture and a McMillan started his career with the Cincinnati Reds. He was involved in a real big trade that brought him over to the Milwaukee Braves. And Casey Stengel believes that he certainly is responsible for the fine pitching of Warren Spahn and Lou Burdett. One of the big reasons here is Ron Hunt coming over towards second to chase McMillan back to second. He does that. Time is called. Here's a pitch back at the knees, a strike call. Two balls and two strikes. McMillan at second base was acquired by the Milwaukee Braves in exchange for Joey Jay and Juan Pizarro. Pizarro was subsequently sent on to the White Sox for pitcher Cal McLish and infielder Gene Freed. It gave the Cincinnati Reds a pennant. Freed's having a great season for the Cincinnati Reds after coming over from the White Sox. There's a high fly ball to left field. Thomas drifts over. This could be trouble. He's looking, and it misses the upper deck, and Thomas makes the catch. The wind blew that ball over toward the stands, and as you well know here at the Polo Grounds, you can catch the facade of that upper deck, and it's a home run. That one just missed as Thomas made the play. In the inning for the Braves, no runs on one hit, no errors, one man left, and the score at the end of 2.5. The Braves nothing, the Mets nothing. Something in triplicate for you right now.
Hold on, I'm hardly going in my Nickelodeon. Play this tune I love to hear. My beer, my beer, my beer. Rich and white and cheerful too. The songs that like the flavor through. You know what I'm referring to. Grangle, grangle, grangle. Say it. Come on, let's play it. There's nothing difficult about the song. Can't go wrong, but I'm not going.
of the third. No score in this game. The Mets won the first one 8-5. And coming up for the first time against Lou Burdett is Al Moran. Lou Burdett now has pitched to seven batters. He has given up one base hit. That was to Charlie Neal, a line single to right field. And now he'll start to work here in the bottom of the third. Al Moran with two hits and 20 times up, a right-hand batter. In the first ball game, Moran walked one time and two times up officially. And he looks at a pitch that's low for ball one. If you're keeping an accurate record, his at-bats are not 20, they're 19. Lou looking for the sign now breaks away and asks for another from Del Crandall. He gets it. Here's the 1-0 pitch to Al Moran. There's a line drive to right field. Hank Aaron coming on. He can't get there. A base hit for Al Moran, his third in the major leagues, and it brings up Galen Siskall. So the Mets now have a runner at first base with no one out here in the third. No score. And the pitcher coming up. Siskall batting from the right-hand side. He has one hit and three times up in the 1963 season. That was a double down the right field line in Milwaukee. Came off left-hander Bob Henley. Henley went on to win that game, 1-0 in 10 innings over Roger Craig. There's a bunt attempt. It's foul for strike one. Both clubs with two base hits apiece. Both clubs have yet to score. Wind still blowing strongly in from right field. In the first game, it took a possible extra base hit away from Duke Snider. Hank Aaron allowed to play very shallow in right field with that wind behind him. There's a punt attempt to swing. There goes the runner to second base. He's out. Galen Siskall squared around to decoy the Milwaukee Braves into thinking he was going to bunt. Then he came back, swung away. He missed the ball. Moran at first base, going down to second base, was thrown out. Del Crandall to Roy McMillan. It goes 2-6 in the book. And the base hit by Moran is erased. Count two strikes on Galen Siskall. And Burdett now with a full windup comes back with a sidearm pitch. It's inside. One ball and two strikes. First doubleheader of the year for the Mets. They come back to play their second doubleheader against the San Francisco Giants on the 5th of May. Here's the next pitch by Burdett. Ball two. Two balls and two strikes. Of course, the Mets return home off their next road trip against the Los Angeles Dodgers. A night game on April 29th. Two balls and two strikes. There's the ball hit sharply down to first. It's handled by Norm Larker. He goes over to first base, makes the play unassisted for out number two. That will bring up the hero of the first game, Jim Hickman. Jim drove in five runs, five of the eight for the Mets in the first game. One on sacrifice fly, the other in a grand slam home run, his first in his major league career. A home run coming in the bottom half of the eighth inning to give the Mets the lead at 8-5. Jim in this game is 0-1 against Jim Hickman. First pitch, a curveball, low, ball one. Jim, 9 for 30 this year. And any way you look at it, that's an even 300. He has two home runs. Both of them were really hit. Both came against the Milwaukee Braves. Just outside, Burdette back to the plate. Two balls and no strikes. His first home run was a shot against the wind of Milwaukee that carried at least 440 feet. Or it would have gone that far, but hadn't hit about halfway up in the bleachers. His home run today, the Grand Slammer, was a drive right down the left field line. The only doubt would be whether it would stay fair or not. There's one deep to center. Way back there. It might go in the bleachers. It's off of the wall. Holy mackerel, what a drive. That was a drive to the center field bleachers that hit halfway up on the screen. Ball bounced off the wall. It was turned in, and Hickman held at second base. Boy, this fella right here, he's showing a lot of people a lot of things. Strangely enough, Hickman was rumored to be involved in a trade with Milwaukee. If there was any doubt about it, and if the trade hasn't already been made, I don't think it's going to be made. He's had quite a series against the Milwaukee Braves. Mets now with a runner at second base for the first time in the game. And the batter is Ron Hunt. And he takes a fastball for strike one. Three base hits now off Lou Burdette. No score in the ball game. If Hickman had a little bit of help from the wind, that ball would have gone in the center field bleachers. The wind is blowing from right across. It would not help any ball hit the center field. Hunt looks again at strike two. 0-2 now. Burdette with a slider in the outside corner. Burdette going through all of his antics. He goes to his mouth, to his chest, to his pants, to his mouth. He's really fidgety on the mound, taking plenty of time now with the Mets with a runner in scoring position. Now the two strike pitch. It's in the dirt, blocked, picked up by Del Crandall. Jim Hickman goes back to second. One ball and two strikes. One thing about Lou Burdette, he makes you think that if there's any chance at all that he throws a spitter, it's there. He goes to his forehead, to his wrist, to his mouth, to his forehead, to his wrist, then to his uniform. He's taken so much time now that Ron Hunt has stepped out of the batter's box. Of course, the opposition, well, they're really watching closely. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Low again, it's two balls and two strikes. One thing about batting against Lou Burdette, if you can make him get the ball up, you have a chance. He likes to pitch just below the knees all the time, just out of the strike zone. He throws a sinking fastball, a sort of palm ball type pitch or change of pace. He also throws a slider and a slow curve. Now the 2-2 pitch. Hit hard on the ground down to McMillan at short. He digs it out and throws across to retire the side. In the inning for the Mets, no runs. They had two hits. There were no errors. One man was left. And the score at the end of three innings of play. The Braves, nothing. The New York Mets, nothing. Well, after the Los Angeles Dodgers series on the 29th and 30th of April, those games both night games, the Houston Colt 45s come in for their first big one. They'll be playing Wednesday night on May 1st then Thursday afternoon on May 2nd. And they'll be bringing in Pete Reynolds for the first time in the National League. He's the former American League batting champion. Also along with Pete Reynolds will be Bob Aspermonte, Johnny Temple, Dick Farrell, Don McMahon, and the Colt 45s with something in common with the Mets. The two new expansion teams meeting, and they have a little personal grudge of their own to settle. So you can expect some fine baseball in that series. And after the Colt 45s leave town, the San Francisco Giants, the National League champions, come in for a night game on Friday night, a Saturday afternoon game on Saturday. That'll be Ladies' Day, and then Sunday afternoon, a big doubleheader, the second doubleheader of the year. Friday night will be Willie Mays night, so a great ball player being honored right here in the Polo Grounds where he got his first start. Tickets for all these games and the games during the season may be purchased at Grand Central Station, Pennsylvania Station, and right here at the Polo Grounds. Ticket reservations may be made by going to any of the Howard clothing stores in the New York area. You can make your reservations there. Well, we're moving now to the top of the fourth. No score, and here to take you along the way, Lindsey Nelson. Thank you very much, Ralph Kiner. Galen Sisco looking in to get a sign now as Henry Aaron stands in and swings the bat. Sisco into the motion. Here's the pitch, and it's high for ball one. Top half of the fourth inning, no score. Henry Aaron batting, number three in the batting order for the Milwaukee Braves. To this point, the Braves have two hits, and the Mets have three. Sisco again into the motion with a pitch swung on and has a fly ball to left field. Thomas back in the track, and he makes the catch for the out. Henry Aaron hitting that a long way, and of course any fly ball hit way out there with the wind blowing across toward the left field stands as it is certainly a great danger because it can just tick that upper deck that hangs out over the warning track there, and if it does, it's a home run. Coming up is Ed Matthews now, left-hand batter, batting cleanup. He's been up one time and he walked. Matthews with the season's batting average right now of .395. Galen Sisco with the windup and the pitch and it's high and away for ball one. Again, Sisco starts the motion. And it's fastball, rocked him back a little high. It's 2-0. The Mets with an infield of Ed Cranepool at first base, 18 years of age. Ron Hunt at second base, 22 years of age. Al Moran at shortstop, 24 years of age. Charlie Neal at third base, 31 years of age. Here's a fastball in there for a called strike. It's 2-1. On deck now is first baseman Norm Larker for the Milwaukee Braves. Wind blowing stiffly across the field here at the Polo Grounds. It's 2-1 pitch, and it's in there for a called strike. Breaking ball and in there. In case you've joined us along the way, the New York Mets won the first game by a score of 8-5. Swing and a miss. Matthews is out swinging. That's the second strikeout for Galen Sisco. Brings up Norm Larker. Been up one time and he had a base hit. And then was erased on a double play. Larker is a left-hand batter. He's hitting .318. Swings and sends one deep to left field, sending Thomas back. Getting it lined up, and Thomas makes the catch going away for the out that retires the side. In the top of the fourth, the Braves are in order with no runs, no hits, no errors, none left. The end of 3.5 at the Polo Grounds. The score is the Braves nothing, the Mets nothing. And now a word from Viceroy Cigarettes.
I've been out with my truck for a week on the road and was heading on home with a 10-ton load. The trip was long. It felt good to get back. Then I went for a smoke and found an empty pack. I asked for my brand at a diner I know. The man said,
all out of yours, try these, Joe.
Now, I only smoke filters, but these were too light.
Then a cute little waitress set things right. She said,
Viceroy tastes the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong.
Not too light. Viceroy's got
the taste that's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Now I smoke Viceroy, and it must be fake, because that waitress and I have a wedding date.
Ah, that's right.
So now I know, and I'll take all bets. If you smoke all seven filter cigarettes, you'll find some too strong.
Some too light.
But Viceroy's got
the taste that's right.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Duke Snider will come up to lead off for the Mets in the bottom half of the fourth inning against right-hander Lou Burdette. A native of Nitro, West Virginia, lives now in the offseason in Sarasota, Florida. Snider has been up one time, and he flied out to center field. Frank Thomas is on deck. Burdette with a windup and a pitch that is a fastball in there for a called strike to the Duke. Snider batting number three in the batting order for the Mets. The Braves with an infield of Larker at first base, Bowling at second, McMillan at short, and Matthews at third. Lee May in left, Ty Klein in center, Henry Aaron in right field. Not awaiting as Burdette delivers. Fastball low and away. 1-1 to count. Immediately following that first game, we talked to Jim Hickman down on the field. He said he hit a high fastball for that Grand Slam home run. It was the first Grand Slam of his lifetime. Jim, of course, does not exactly bubble. He doesn't have a great deal to say. Here's a swing and a high foul ball coming back. Fandle has a play if he can find it. Stan Landis gets out of the way, and Fandle makes the catch. So Snider has fouled out to the catcher. There is one away. And Frank Thomas is coming up. Frank grounded out pitcher to first in his only previous appearance. Jim Hickman does not have a great deal to say. He's rather a quiet man. From Henning, Tennessee. He said it felt pretty good when it left the bat. I asked him if he ever had any doubt about it staying fair. He said no. He thought it was a fair ball, all right. And it proved to be just that. Burdette with the pitch to Frank Thomas. Swung on, and there's a high fly ball down the line and left. Lee May is coming over, and May puts it away for the out. Two men down, and that'll bring up rookie first baseman Ed Cranepool. He's been up one time. He grounded out, pitched it first. He had a tremendous triple, and he had a single as well in the first game. It was a wallop that went one hop to the low green wall in front of the right center field bleachers. And when he slipped down after rounding third, he crawled back on all fours to the bag. Any way to get there. Burdette now starts the motion. Here's the pitch. In there for a call strike to Cranepool. Two men out, nobody on base for the Mets. Batting in this, the bottom half of the fourth inning, and there is no score in this game. The second game of a doubleheader, the Mets won the first game by a score of 8-5. That pitch is a called strike to Cranefield. He took the stride, didn't swing the bat. And it's a two-strike count. Charlie Neal is on deck. Charlie swung a big bat in the first game. He drove in three runs. Right now, light up a Viceroy. Here's a pitch swung on, and it's a ground ball right back to the mound, taken by Burdette, and he throws on to Larker in time, and he's out. So in the bottom half of the fourth, the Mets got no runs, no hits, no errors, none left, and at the end of four full innings, the score is the Braves nothing, the Mets nothing. And right now, let's catch up on scores of other games. In the National League, first game of a doubleheader, the Phillies 4, the Cardinals 3. As the winner was Dallas Green in relief. That was a 10-inning ball game, and Green won it coming on in the 10th. Barudo was the loser. Oliver, Demeter, and Flood homered in the ball game. Second game of that twin bill, going to the bottom of the 6th. It is the St. Louis Cardinals 10 and the Philadelphia Phillies 5. For the Cards, Gibson, Chance in the fourth, Panic in the fourth. For the Phillies, Mahaffey, Balchin in the fourth, Duran in the fourth, Green in the fifth. Hoke homered in the first with two on for the Phillies. Cincinnati Reds defeated the Pittsburgh Pirates 8-3. The winner was Jim Maloney going all the way. Al McBean was the loser. Clint Dunnan and Baglioni homered in the ballgame for the Pirates. First game of a doubleheader on the coast. At the end of six innings of play, it's the Dodgers 8 and the Houston Colts 45-3. The Houston Cardinals started. Woodyshek in the first, Golden in the third, Zachary in the sixth. For the Dodgers, Miller started, Peronoski in the sixth inning. On the coast, first game of a doubleheader, Chicago Cubs 4, the San Francisco Giants 1. Dick Ellsworth started and got the win. Schultz relieved him in the seventh. Fisher took the loss, relieved by Constable in the fifth, Duffalo in the seventh. Ken Hubbs homered in the fourth with nobody on for the Cubs. In the second game of the doubleheader, Chicago did not score in the top of the first. San Francisco coming up bottom of the first. No score. It's Coates against Odell. So that's the way things have been going in the National League. In the American, the Yankees defeated Washington by a score of 7-6. As Bouton was the winner in relief of Terry, and Bronstedt was the loser. Trey Schoeman in the third with nobody on. Detroit defeated Boston 5-2. Gary the winner, and Mambo kept the loser. Cash and Tillman homered. Baltimore shut out Cleveland 7-0. Steve Barber all the way for the win, and Sam McDowell the loser. Right here, Lee May is at the plate, and Cisco Lyons and Farris has a swing and a miss. It's strike one. Lee May has been up one time, and he hit into a double play. Again, Cisco starts the motion. That pitch is low for a ball, and right now we pause for station identification.
This is 810 on your radio dial, Schenectady, WGY, the General Electric Station.
And with Ralph Kiner and Bob Murphy, you're at the Polo Gun. Cisco's pitch is a breaking ball high. And it's 2-1 now to Lee May. May leading off for the Milwaukee Braves in the top half of the fifth. In the second game of a doubleheader in Baltimore, at the end of 7.5 innings, the Cleveland Indians lead the Baltimore Orioles 2-0. Donovan against Roberts. Woody Hell homered in the second with nobody on for Cleveland. Minnesota Twins shut out the Chicago White Sox 7-0. Jim Rowland the winner and Fisher the loser. Joyce relieved him in the ninth. Allison and Gorel homered in that ballgame. That's the first of two. At the end of 2.5 innings of the second game, it's the White Sox 3 and the Twins nothing. Kraduk against Bazard. Has a fastball high. 3-1 to Lee May. Los Angeles Angels defeated the Kansas City A's today. 6-2. Don Lee started and was the winner. Spring relieved him in the eighth. Bosefield started and was the loser for Kansas City. Torres and Wagner homered. Galen Cisco looking in to get a sign. Here's a 3-1 pitch to Lee May. Swung on and has a drive going to right center. Going to be an in-betweener. And it's going all the way to the green wall. Lee May's on his way to second. Snyder is up with it, relays it in. It is taken by relay man Ron Hunt, and Lee May holds at third base with a triple. Jim Hicklin made the long run, tried to stab it, but could not get close enough. And it rolled all the way to the low green wall in front of the right center field bleacher area, retrieved there by Duke Snyder and the Milwaukee Braves. And a scoreless ball game have opened up here in the top half of the fifth inning with a triple to right center, and that will bring up Del Crandall. Crandall has been up one time and he grounded out short to first. Galen Cisco taking a look around as the New York Mets get their infield adjusted, looking into the dugout to see how Casey wants to play it, and they're bringing it up. Infield up to try to cut off the run at the plate. Del Crandall, right-hand batter, in and waiting as Cisco starts the motion. Breaking ball swung out and missed for strike one. The New York Mets won the first game of today's doubleheader by a score of 8-5. No score in this one, but the Braves are threatening here in the top half of the fifth inning. Swing and a bloop going out to center for a base hit, and that will score the run as Lee May comes across the plate. Crandall holds it first with a single to center and a run batted in, and the Braves are out in front by a score of 1-0. There is still nobody out, and shortstop Roy McMillan is coming up. He's been up one time and had a base hit
When he hit a little dribbler down the third baseline, Neal played it cleanly on over to first, but not in time to get McMillan, and so it was scored as a base hit. The Braves have two hits this inning off Cisco. That gives them a total of four for this ballgame thus far. Randall leads off the bag at first. Cisco holds against him. Swinging a ground ball to second. Taken by Hunt. Over to Moran. He's out. Throw on to first. He's out. An easy double play. Handled quickly by the youthful infield combination of Hunt, Moran, and Cranepool. Two men out. Nobody on base. And pitcher Lou Burdett is coming up. Luberdet, right-hand batter, been up one time and sacrificed. He executed the bunt very neatly in the top half of the third inning. Cisco works straight away now with the pitch to Burdett. Comes overhand and it's low for ball one. We'll be in Philadelphia tomorrow night at County Mac Stadium to bring you the New York Mets against the Philadelphia Phillies, and we'll be on the air at 8 p.m. New York time and Philadelphia time as well. Mets will be going down by bus, leaving at noon tomorrow. Here's the pitch, and it's in there for a call strike to Lou Burdett. Mets have Tuesday off, and then they continue on to Chicago. Matter of fact, they will travel on Tuesday out to Chicago, where they'll take on the Chicago Cubs Wednesday and Thursday. Burdett swings and misses. It's 1-2. Those games in Chicago, of course, afternoon games, since there are no lights at Wrigley Field in Chicago. Then the Mets continue on to Pittsburgh for a night game Friday night, an afternoon game Saturday, an afternoon game Sunday. That's breaking ball misses outside to Burdett, and it's level at 2-2. Then the Mets come home Monday night, April 29th, and Tuesday night, April 30th, to meet the Los Angeles Dodgers here at the Polo Grounds. And that will open up a long homestand for the Mets, which they will face the Dodgers, the Houston Colt 45s, the Giants, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Cincinnati Reds. Here's a swing and a drive to left. Thomas is going way back, having the hustle going on back. It's over his head, going into the bullpen of the Milwaukee Braves. And Lou Burdett is on his way to third. The throw coming over the head of Neal, and it is backed up, fortunately, by Cisco, so that Burdett holds with a tremendous triple over the head of Frank Thomas into the bullpen. It scattered him on the bench area out there in the bullpen in left center field. That is the second triple of this inning off Cisco. Lee May opened up with a triple. Time is called as a jacket is taken out to pitcher Lou Burdett. Leadoff man Ty Klein will be coming up. Now Cisco. Standing just behind the rubber as the New York Mets bring the left side of the infield up. And they are playing Hunt back on the edge of the grass and now throw over to first base to see if he missed it, an appeal play, but he did not miss it, says umpire Ed Sudol. An appeal play made it first base, so over to Ed Cranepool, but umpire Ed Sudol says he's safe, meaning he touched the bag. All right, now Cisco gets set to work to Ty Klein, left-hand batter. Now shortstop Al Moran has been moved back. Here's a swing and a foul ball. Charlie Keith in on the edge of the grass at third against the left-hand batter and against the feet of the left-hand batter. The Braves are leading by a score of 1-0. They have a total of 5 hits off Cisco up to now. And the job at hand for Cisco is to try to get rid of Klein because he has 2 men out. Pitch is swung on, fouled off. It's out of play into the upper deck, and it's a strike 2 count. Crowd here for the first Sunday afternoon doubleheader of the season of 26,675 paid with 805 service personnel, making a total of 27,580 in the ballpark. Ty Klein in and waiting. That pitch is low for a ball. One and two to Klein. Here's a ball swung on, fouled off down the first baseline. Out of play. Cranepool fields it. Count holds at one and two now to Klein. One week ago today in Milwaukee, the New York Mets and the Milwaukee Braves drew 5,576 paid. And today here at the Polo Grounds, they drew 26,000. Pitcher swung on it, foul back, onto the screen, out of play. The count holds at one and two to Klein. Grounded out to first base and slide to left previously. Klein with a batting average of an even 200 right now. Luberdett is the base runner at third, and here's the 1-2 pitch. Changes high, and it is 2-2. Frank Bowling's on deck for the Braves. Cisco takes a moment to rub up the ball. Klein waiting, gun on his shoulder until Cisco's ready. Now the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and has a fly ball to short left. Frank Thomas coming in, and Thomas is called, and he makes the catch for the out. So Klein flies to left, and in the top of the fifth, the Braves got one run on three hits. No errors and one left. And at the end of 4 1/2 innings of play, the score is the Braves won, the Mets nothing. Well, plenty of new young players this season, and the New York Mets have Cranepool and Moran and Hunt in that infield this afternoon. It's anybody's guess as to how many will stay in the big leagues, of course, when you talk about new young players, but here's something new that's already made it big with filter smokers everywhere. It's Viceroy's exclusive new slide top shade. Crush proof like a box, it slides right open, slides shut tight. It's the greatest improvement in cigarette packaging since the flip open box. You open and shut it with one hand. Inside, Viceroy. The filter cigarettes that taste the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Yes, fans, if you smoke all seven leading brands, you'll find some taste too strong, just like the unfiltered kind. And others taste too light. They take all the fun and flavor out of smoking. But Viceroy's not too strong, not too light. Viceroy has got the taste that's right. Smoke Viceroy in the exclusive slide top case or the familiar soft pack. Either way, you'll agree, Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Luberdett firing down the warm-up tosses. As we go to the bottom of the fifth, and the crowd is trying to get something started here, as you can hear. The Mets will send up Charlie Neal, Norm Sherry, and Al Moran as they trail by one. Charlie Neal, who drove in three runs in the first game of today's doubleheader, singled to right in the second inning of this, the second game. So he's one for one in this one. Burdett gets a sign from Del Crandall. Into the windup, and here's a pitch to Charlie Neal. Swung on and fouled off. It's strike one. Tomorrow night, the New York Mets are going to give left-hander Don Rowe his first start of the season. He has been very impressive in relief roles, and so they're going to give him a start. He'll be going against
Young right-hander Paul Brown of the Philadelphia Phillies. The pitch to Neal. Swung on and popped up. Toward the right side, first baseman Larcher comes in and takes it on the infield grass. So there is one away, and that will bring up catcher Norm Sherry. Norm had a home run in yesterday's ball game. Went up one time, and he hit a pop foul taken by Larcher. The Braves won, Mets nothing. Second game of the doubleheader, the Mets won the first game by a score of 8-5. Ken McKenzie got credit for the victory in the first game. Roger Craig was credited with a save as he came on to pitch the top of the ninth. Burdette delivers. There's a swing and a miss by Norm Sherry. Claude Raymond was the losing pitcher for the Milwaukee Braves in the first game. And the big hit was a grand slam home run by Jim Hickman. It brought the Mets from behind and put them ahead. They won it 8-5. Burdette with the pitch to Sherry. Swung on. It's a ground ball to third. Taken on a big hop by Eddie Matthews. Sidearms over to Larcher in time, and Sherry has grounded out. Third to first, and shortstop Al Moran comes up. Here's a young man who looked extremely good during spring training. Handled himself in the field very, very well, and handled himself well enough at the plate. Then got off to a shaky start once the bell rang. Casey Single pulled him out of the lineup to give him a chance to rest, get settled out a little bit, and then stuck him back in there. And he has been going fine since. Al Moran, the reinstated shortstop at the plate. Burdette with a wind-up and pitch. Swung on as a ground ball. It's going to second base. Taken by Bowling. Up with it and plays on to first in time. And the Mets are out in order here in the bottom half of the fifth inning, with no runs on no hits, no errors, and none left. And at the end of five, the score is the Braves 1, the Mets nothing.
Chug-a-mug.
Chug-a-mug?
Chug-a-mug.
What?
Chug-a-mug. Rheingold. Container with a top that's so easy to open. You've never seen anything like it. You don't need an opener. You don't even need a glass. To open the Chug-a-mug, you pull the tab on the top straight out, straight up, and pull it off. And you're all set to drink right from Chug-a-Mug's wide mouth. Chug-a-Mug holds the same amount of delicious Rheingold Extra Dry as the 12-ounce can. Costs the same, too. There's no deposit, no return.
My beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Chug-a-Mug is a new way to buy beer. Better get some today.
Chug-a-Mug, what you say?
What a great way to drink Rheingold beer.
You'll find the new Chug-a-Mug wherever Rheingold Extra Dry is sold.
What a great way to drink Rheingold beer.
In the top of the sixth, the Milwaukee Braves will send up Frank Bowling, Hank Aaron, Ed Matthews to face right-handed Galen Sisco. Through five innings of play, the Braves have one run on five hits, no errors. The Mets have no runs on three hits, no errors. Bowling has been up twice. He flied to center and he flied to left. The season batting average of .271. He has three doubles and one triple. Sisco turns now to get the sign, has it into the motion, and it is swung on and fouled off out of play to the right side. Into the upper deck. And it is strike one. Again, Sisco is set to work. Bowling swings on the curveball, pulls it foul on the ground, back at third, and it's a two-strike count. Top of the fifth, Lee May led off with a triple for the Braves, and Del Crandall singled a little bloop out into center field with the infield up to score Lee May. Then Roy McMillan hit into a double play to retire Crandall. Then Lou Burdette tripled over the head of Frank Thomas into the Milwaukee bullpen, And then Ty Klein slide to left. Here's a swing and a miss, and Bowling is out of there. One away. Strikeout number three for Galen Sisko. Hank Aaron comes up. Was called out on strikes and slide to left so far. Henry Aaron is batting 333 for the season. Sisko sidearms him, and it's low for ball one. Aaron has four doubles and three home runs, and he's batted in eight runs. Swings and sends a line drive into left center field for a base hit. Frank Thomas overcuts it off, whips it in, and holds Aaron to a single. That's hit number six for the Milwaukee Braves. Off Sisko brings up Ed Matthews. He has walked and struck out. Matthews hitting 386. Aaron leads at first. There's one away. Sisko checks the runner, and the pitch to Matthews. It's swung on line down the right field line. It's a fair ball, one hop to the wall. Aaron's on his way to third. Snyder up, plays it into second. Runner's holding first and third. Sharp single to right by Eddie Matthews. So the Braves have put base hits back to back. That was hit number seven for the Braves off Sisko. With one man out, first baseman Norm Larker's coming up. He's a right-hand batter. He's single in the second inning and slide to left in the top of the fourth. And a very familiar figure gets up in the Met bullpen and starts to work, Ken McKenzie. McKenzie got the win in relief. And the first game here today. Time call just a moment as Dan Landis has asked for the ball. Looks it over and leaves it in play. McKenzie was the property of the Milwaukee Braves and was an expansion draft selection of the Mets off the roster of the Milwaukee Braves, and he won his first major league game last year for the Mets against the Milwaukee Braves in Milwaukee. Matthews leads at first, Aaron at third. And here's a pitch to Larka, low and away for ball one. We're in the top half of the sixth inning. The Braves lead 1-0, and they're threatening here. Lee May is on deck. Mets have the infield back here, hoping to go for two. Sisko checks, and here's the pitch to Larker. Swung on, and there is a drive down the left field line, curving, going foul, and it is in the upper deck, but a foul ball. Down the line and curving off over the scoreboard and landing in the upper deck. So that brings Larker back with a count of one ball and one strike. Dixie Walker moving around in the coach's box at first for the Braves. JoJo White is the Braves coach at third. Dixie Walker played a lot of baseball games at this ballpark during his active career, but always as an enemy with the Dodgers, with the Pirates. Here's a 1-1 pitch. It is outside for ball. It's 2-1. Sisko looking in. Gets a sign from Norm Sherry. End of the stretch. And as Neil moves over toward the bag to move Aaron back, Sisko steps off the rubber to allow Neil to get back into position. Again, runners lead, first and third. The 2-1 pitch to Larker, way outside. That runs it to three balls and one strike. Ken McKenzie continues to throw in the Met bullpen. Bronco again, up on the river. Looking in for his sign, has it now. 3-1-6. Swung on and has a ground ball to the left side. Charlie Neal can't get it taken by Mulaney. He'll have to go to first, and a run has scored as Henry Aaron crosses the plate. Moving on to second, Eddie Matthews, who was running on the 3-1 pitch. Aaron across the plate. Larker gets a run batted in on the infield out that went from Moran to Cranepool. Lee May coming up now with two men out and a runner at second. May hit into a double play and triple thus far in this game. Neal was cutting across from his third base position, trying to come up with a ground ball. He couldn't get to it, but Moran was in good position. Had only one play over to first base because Matthews was running on the pitch, on the 3-1 pitch, to evade the possibility of a double play. Pitch to Lee May, and it swung on and full foul on the ground. Backhanded by Ed Cranepool. Knocked down. It's a foul ball. Strike one. Lee May has only two hits this season. A home run against the New York Mets that won a ball game in Milwaukee, and a triple here in the top of the fifth that allowed him to come on later and score the first run of this game. The Braves lead 2-0. Fastball, little tight. 1-1. Eddie Matthews, the base runner, at second. Top half of the sixth inning. Cisco getting the sign. And the pitch to the left-hand batter is high. It's 2-1. Del Crandall is on deck for the Milwaukee Braves. Holding that bat high as he waits. Cisco deals a 2-1 pitch. Swung on and has a fly ball to right. Duke Snyder getting it lined up. He's got plenty of room, and the Duke puts it away. That retires the side in the top of the sixth. The Braves got one run on two hits. No errors and one left. And at the end of 5.5 innings, the score, the Braves 2, the Mets nothing. Coming up now, a tune I know you're going to like.
My beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Think of Rheingold whenever you buy beer. It's not bitter, not sweet, it's a dry flavor treat. Won't you try extra dry Rheingold beer?
Join in and treat yourself to the clean, sparkling taste of New York's favorite beer, Rheingold Extra Dry. Rheingold has a flavor all its own because it's brewed of only the choicest ingredients. Brewed the long, slow, costlier way for flavor that's brisk and bright and clean clear through. It's beer as beer should taste.
My beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Think of Rheingold whenever you buy beer. It's not bitter, not sweet, it's the dry flavor treat. Won't you try extra dry Rheingold beer?
It's going to be Meyer Fromberry batting for Galen Cisco to open up the bottom of the sixth for the Mets. They're trailing by two, and Casey Stengel now goes to the bench for a pinch hitter with left-hander Ken McKenzie still warming in the bullpen. Fromberry has been up seven times this season, has one hit. So Meyer digs in at the plate to face right-hander Lou Burdett. Lou Burdett, who was the pitching hero of the 1957 World Series when he defeated the Yankees three times, shut them out the last two. He had three complete games. He gets the sign from Del Sandel. Into the windup, and the pitch to Mars. Swung out, and there's a fly ball down the left field line. Lee May's got a long way to come. It should go foul, and it's a fair ball. Got him. Stoneberry's on his way to second. Round second, and holds up there as the ball is being run back to the infield. And Mars
Coombe delivers a pitch double. Eddie Matthews had gone way down the line. Roy McMillan had gone over. Lee May had the long run, and he dropped in about 2 feet fair, right down the left field line, an opposite field double, and that brings up Jim Hickman. Jim was the hero of the first game victory when he hit a grand slam home run, a tremendous wallop. He hit a double here in the bottom half of the third inning that was hit even harder than the grand slammer. It hit on the fly on the little low wire fence atop the low green wall in front of the center field bleachers. So he's up there now, right back at the plate. And this crowd is alive at the Polo Guard. Listen. Now into the stretch. Thornberry leads. Here's a pitch ball. Down ball to third. Taken by Matthews. Throws on over to first base. Low. Off the bat. He saves at first base. As the ball was blocked by Larker, he could not handle the low throw. And so Hickman is out at first. Thornberry had to hold at second. Runners at first and second. So it is an error on Matthews on the throw. A low throw. That's going to bring up Ron Hutch. He's the guy who delivered in the first game of this series a double in the bottom half of the ninth inning to drive in the tying and winning run. He was the hero of the first Met victory of the season. Ricky Lavagetta looking into the dugout to see if Casey Singer wants a runner for Mars Thornberry. Charlie Hemus is looking in also. We may get a runner for Mars Thornberry here. That play is being held up. Going to be Rod Caneal running for Thornberry.
WGY 10 on your radio dial, the General Electric Station, Schenectady.
This is Lindsey Nelson with Bob Murphy and Ralph Steiner at the Polo Ground. Manager Bobby Bregan of the Braves has gone to the mound. Says very briefly, says something to Bridget. Bridget's an old timer. Crandall didn't stay for the conference. He comes on back behind the plate. Duke Snyder coming up. First base is open, and all Bregan wanted to know was, do you want to put him on? Do you want to pitch good? Thomas is on deck. Duke Snyder's a left-hand batter. The Braves lead 2-0. The Mets have two runners in scoring position. One man out. Ron Hunt with that sacrifice. Here's the pitch to the Duke. And it's blown away. They're pitching to him, so that his managerial decision after the quick conference with Bridget was pitch to Snyder.
And that is what they're doing here. Pitching to the left-hand batter.
Duke has a 179 batting average. He has three home runs, four runs batted in. In this game, he has slid to center and fouled out to the catcher. He is in a position to play the hero's role at the Polo Ground. One man out for the Mets. Ray is playing the infield back. Third baseman Matthews, even with the bag, is turned against the left-hand batter.
Heard
up. Here's the windup. And the pitch
ball
on line
into
the left field for a base hit.
It is four on both. Caneal comes down to score. The play is at second, and
Snyder
is sliding with a
double. And the score is tied, 2-2.
It's the paper coming out of a grandstand area in the upper deck. Down onto the playing field and left.
Listen to this sound. The score is tied.
action in the Braves bullpen. It is Bob Shaw and Denver Lamasque. Snyder is on second with that double. It was an opposite field double. He lined the shot. Just out of reach of first baseman Eddie Matthews on the line. It scores by Camille and it scores Jim Hickman. There is Frank Thomas up now. Right hand batter. Still one man out for the New York Mets. Moving that up and into the stretch. Stretch to level. Here's the pitch. Just blowing away. Gets away from Sando. Snyder does not go. He holds up. Taking no chances of getting thrown out at third. It rolled only about 6 or 8 feet off to the right of Del Sando. He pounced on it, and Duke Snyder, 36 years of age, held on at second base. Ed Cranepool is on deck now for the Mets.
You know, Rheingold is here in Bruce's good taste,
and Dry tells you why. So enjoy a friendly breath of Rheingold Extra Dry. Listen to that crowd roar. Snyder leaves at second. The pitch to Thomas. It's low for a ball. It's 2-0. And Lou Burdett's a little upset with himself. Matches that ball out of the glove, rubs it up, tugs at the bill of his cap. Mike Thomas standing easily in the batter's box and waiting. And that's just come from behind the side in the bottom half of the sixth inning. It's a 2-2 game now. And the crowd wants more. They're doing all they can do to get more. Burdett shrugs his shoulders a little bit, looks around. Now up and into the stretch. Snyder leads the pitch to Thomas. It's low ball three. 3 balls and no strikes. Listen to this crowd roar on every pitch. You know, in the halcyon days in Milwaukee, they heard a lot about crowds, and they saw a lot of crowds, and they saw a lot of enthusiasm. But I was there in many of those days. During the game of the weekend, they saw nothing like this. In crowd behavior, believe you me, they saw no enthusiasm that rivaled or topped this. The 3-0 pitch is low and dropped. Thomas goes to first for the base on ball. Snyder holds it second. Rookie first baseman Ed Cranepool is coming up. Cranepool has been up twice and he grounded out both times, pitcher to first. In the first game today, Cranepool was 2-for-3. He had a single and a triple. The Mets trying to go ahead here in the sixth inning. Came from behind to win the first game of the doubleheader by a score of 8-5, and they're trying to do it again. Wayne Booth steps back out of the batter's box this way. That takes his time out there. Now the 18-year-old rookie digs in. Burdett checks the runners and here's the pitch. Swung on, and it's a looper in the left. Good drop in, and it's going to be in for a base hit. Snyder's coming home. Lee May with a throw to the plate. Got in five, and Snyder scores. For a base hit, it's George Snyder. Thomas holding at second and Cranepool on at first. With a single to left and a run batted in, there still is only one man out and Charlie Neal is coming up. The Mets lead by a score of 3-2. Neal has been up twice. He had a single and he popped out to first base. Bits of paper sailing out of the upper deck here at the Polo Grounds. Around parts of the playing field. Paper bags, hot dog wrappers. Norm Sherry on deck, swinging a couple of bats. The area around the Mets bullpen is a mass of debris that has been thrown out there from the upper deck. The crowd continuing a roar, waves of applause, vocal encouragement. Charlie Neal is in and waiting. Burdett is into the stretch. Runners lead. The pitch is swung on and missed. Strike one. Burdett taking his time, rubbing up the ball, looking around. Bits of paper being thrown about the outfield area. Looks like the crest of Whitecaps.
The lights, of course, on brightly here as they have been most of the afternoon and early evening. Green Poole is the base runner at first, and Frank Thomas is the base runner at second. Burdette with the pitch to Neal. Swung on as a ground ball to Burdette. Could be for two. He goes to second. He's out, and that's all. There is no relay. However, the shortstop was upended by Green Poole sliding in, and so there are runners at first and third. As rookie Ed Greenpool took Roy McMillan right out of that play. It was a double play ball hit to Burdette. He turned and fired to second, where McMillan took it coming across and was set to throw on to get Neal. And Ed Greenpool took him right out of the play. So there are Thomas moving on to third. There are runners at first and third. Two men out. Norm Sherry coming up. Neal on at first, having fourth. Greenpool. A conference here now between battery mates Crandall and Burdette. Norm Cherry has fouled out to first base and grounded out third to first in his previous trip to the plate today. He had a home run to left yesterday, a tremendous wallop, a shot off the scoreboard. You'll recall that Cisco was removed for the pinch hitter, but these runs are being scored on his behalf here as far as this being the pitcher of record is concerned. Ken McKenzie continues to throw in the bullpen for the Mets. Mets lead 3-2. Burdette checks the runners. First and third. Pitch to Sherry. Fouled off, and it's strike one. Jerry has stepped back out of the batter's box. Al Moran is on deck. Burdette standing behind the rubber. Goes to his cap, to his mouth, to the rosin bag. Scrapes the dirt off the top of the rubber. Now up to get the sign. Into the stretch. Runners leading first and third. The strike one pitch to Sherry. Swung on. It's a ground ball to short. Taken by McMillan. He goes to bowling for the fourth, and the side is retired. In the bottom half of the sixth inning, the New York Mets got three runs on three hits. That was one error and two men left on base. And at the end of six innings of play of the second game of a doubleheader, it's the Mets 3 and the Braves 2. And coming in here now to carry you the rest of the way is Bob Murphy.
Thank you very kindly, Lindsay, and what an afternoon at the Polo Grounds this has been. We'll be looking forward to more of the same on the next homestand, which will open a week from tomorrow night. The first night game of the home season as the Dodgers come in. On the homestand, a big weekend series against Alvin Dark's National League champion Giants. The opener of that weekend series with the Giants will be Friday night, the 3rd of May, and it will be Willie Mays night in the Polo Grounds. The chairman of the committee mapping out Willie Mays night is Tut Shore. Also serving on the committee, a magnificent talent in Jackie Gleason, Kyle Roach, Frank Gifford, and Jack Lescooley. While the Mets are away this week, remember that tickets will be on sale at the advanced sale window here at the Polo Grounds. Also, for your added convenience, at Grand Central Station near the 42nd and Vanderbilt ramp, and the Long Island waiting room of the Penn Station. Well, let's check around the diamond and see what changes Casey will be making. Ken McKenzie, the winning pitcher in the opening game of the doubleheader this afternoon, is on the mound. Ken worked two very strong innings in the opener, held the Braves in check, and gave the offense a chance to cash it in, which it did in the last of the eighth inning with a 5-run outburst, featuring a grand slam home run by Jim Hickman. This a tight one, 3-2 as we go to the seventh inning, and Del Crandall will be leading off against Ken McKenzie. Ken has won two and lost none, picking up two wins in the series. He was the winning pitcher in the Friday afternoon game when he relieved in the ninth. Rod Caniel, who came in the game as a runner, will stay in the ball game, going to left field. Rod came in the game as a runner. That means that he has the number 9 spot in the batting order. And right now, the pitcher, Ken McKenzie, has the number 4 spot in the batting order. Left-hander Ken McKenzie. Galen Sisco did a good job. Galen, in 6 innings, allowed 2 runs. He gave up 7 hits. He walked 1 and struck out 3. And if the New York Mets can maintain the lead, Galen will get credit for the victory. Del Crandall leads off as we move along now to the top of the 7th inning. So Ken McKenzie is appearing in the late innings of both games of this big doubleheader. Pitch thrown to Del Crandall is outside and low, ball 1. The doubleheader is now over at County Mac Stadium in Philadelphia. The St. Louis Cardinals and Philadelphia Phillies split a doubleheader. The Phillies won the first game 4-3 in 10 innings. The Cardinals won the nightcap 10-5 with Harry Fanock getting the victory. That's over at the knees for a call strike. 1 ball and 1 strike. Cincinnati beat Pittsburgh 8-3 behind Jim Maloney. The Dodgers have beaten Houston 11-3 in the first game with right-hander Bob Miller getting the victory, relieved by Peranowski in the 6th. Ground ball hit hard toward the hole, left-handed by Neal. Here's the peg. He's out at first. Beautiful play going to his left by Charlie Neal. That ball looked like it might go through the hole for a base hit. Now Roy McMillan is the scheduled hitter, and we may get a hitter for him. Tommy Aaron is coming out to hit for Roy McMillan. Tommy Aaron, a right-hand batter. So now the Braves, trailing by a run, are making their move. Tommy Aaron appeared as a pinch hitter in the 8th inning of the first game. Aaron was in left field in the game yesterday and had a home run and a single, and 4 times up he was 2-for-4. Tommy Aaron, right-hand batter waiting. Off the outside corner, 1 ball and no strikes. The Chicago Cubs beat the Giants 4-1 in the first game of 2 in San Francisco. Cubs lead 2-1 after 3.5 in the second game. In comes the pitch to Aaron, a little under the knees. Ball 2, 2-0. In the American League, Dick Donovan threw a 4-hit shutout at the Orioles to give Cleveland a split in the doubleheader. Barber had shut out Cleveland on 4 hits in the first game.
Broken bat, slow grounder down the third baseline. Neal up with it, the fire. He's out at first.
Well, there's 2 beauties in a row by Charlie Neal. First, he had to go off to his glove side to come up with a hard-hit ground ball, and this time a broken bat slow roller down the third base line. Neal saw not only the ball trickling slowly down the line, but the barrel of the bat come flying in his direction, too. 2 outs and nobody on. And Lou Burdett is the hitter. He gets to stay in a lot of ball games like Warren's Fun because of the fact that he is a good hitter. He tripled over the head of Frank Thomas his last time up. Now McKenzie out of his windup. The pitch curve is over the knees for a call strike. Mets 3 and the Braves 2. Top half of the 7th inning. 2 outs, nobody on. Crowd of some 27,000 this afternoon, and they have made the noise in supporting the New York Mets with a crowd of 50,000. Magnificent enthusiasm. Next pitch on the way, a swing and a miss, strike 2. Boy, after a reception such as the one accorded the New York Mets all afternoon, you hate to leave town. It'd be only the beginning of a homestand instead of the end of one, but a new homestand will open a week from tomorrow night against the Dodgers. Here's the 2 strike delivery just off the outside corner. 1 ball and 2 strikes. Crowd has roared so loud so many times throughout the afternoon that the headset on our engineer, Joe Vernon, keeps jumping off his head. He's going to have sore ears tomorrow. He holds up. It's just outside. Two balls and two strikes. One fellow in particular has had a megaphone of some type, and he has been leading the cheer. Count two and two. In comes the pitch. Swing and a miss. McKenzie struck him out. So Ken McKenzie gets the Braves in order in the seventh inning. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. At the end of six and a half innings, the score, the New York Mets 3 and the Milwaukee Braves 2. Well, this is only the beginning of the Mets' second great season, and we've had a lot of excitement. You and I and Lindsey Nelson and Ralph Kiner have got a date for 154 more Mets broadcasts. So if I were you, I'd start stocking up right now with Rheingold Extra Dry. You know, nothing adds quite so much to your enjoyment of the game as just settling back and relaxing with a tall, frosty glass of Rheingold. And that's because Rheingold is beer as beer should taste. Dry tells you why. Yes, sir, two little words, extra dry, tell you that Rheingold is brewed the long, slow, costlier way for a flavor that's brisk and bright and clean, clear through. So the next chance you get, why don't you make it a point to open up or order up a bottle or glass of refreshing Rheingold Extra Dry. Enjoy it along with the game. Now the Braves have Sammy Samwell playing shortstop. McMillan left the game in favor of a hitter. In the last of the seventh inning, it's shortstop Al Moran to lead off against Lou Burdett. The Mets breaking through to get three runs on three hits in the sixth inning. Duke Snyder double driving two runs in, and Eddie Cranepool got an opposite field base hit to send the go-ahead run across the plate. The Mets won the first game 8-5 with five runs in the last of the eighth inning. The big blow, a grand slam home run by Jim Hickman. A ground ball bounced towards shortstop. In the hole is Samwell. A long throw to make. He beats it out, a base hit. Al Moran is on with a base hit on a ground ball deep in the hole at shortstop. That gives Moran his second hit in three times up and brings up Rod Caniel. Rod came in the game as a runner for Marv Thornberry in the three-run sixth inning. Then stayed in the ball game and went to left field, so he's hitting in the number nine spot in the order. Right now, the pitcher, Ken McKenzie, is batting fourth. Rod has one hit and six times up. Norm Larker and Lou Burdett are talking things over, figuring that with this combination, Moran on first and Caniel hitting, that the Mets might try and put a play on. Jim Hickman is on deck, and then Ron Hunt. Now Lou Burdett is up in pitching position. Down comes the pitch. He's around the bunt. Bunt, and it's a foul ball. Beyond the reach of Darrell Crandall. No play. A count of one strike on Rod Caniel. Now Bobby Bregan has southpaw Denny LeMaster and right-hander Bob Shaw warming up in his bullpen. Shaw was the starting pitcher in the opener of the series on Friday. Roy McMillan was taken out of the game for a pinch hitter due to the fact that he suffered bruised shins when he was taken out on that play at second by Eddie Cranepool. Here's the pitch on the way, a pitch out, but nothing was on. One ball and one strike. Braves wanting to find out whether the bunt was still on or not, or whether perhaps they might be going to a hit-and-run play. One ball, one strike now to Rod Caniel. Moran, who has good running speed, is on first. Norm Larker holding against him. Eddie Matthews in close at third to guard against the bunt. Pickoff attempt, not in time. Braves got a run in the fifth inning. They added a run in the sixth inning and led 2-0. But the New York Mets got three in their half of the sixth, and they lead 3-2 here in the home seventh. Now Burdett comes to the stop. Around comes the arm, and it's outside and high. Ball two. Might have been a pitch out. Count 2-1. Lou Burdett, who has fine control, and so Del Crandall, quarterbacking the situation, can call for pitch outs very frequently. Al Moran at first base could very easily represent a mighty big run if the Mets could bring him around. It changes the strategy of the game. Here's the pitch. He's around the button. It's high. Ball three. And now the count is 3-1. So on 3-1, let's keep an eye on Al Moran now and see if Casey puts the play on. Rod Caneal checking with Cookie Lavagetto, the coach on the third baseline. Sammy Samwell now playing short, and Frank Bolling are bunched toward the middle against Rod Caneal. So the first, not in time. He almost threw Larker on it. Larker was breaking in, anticipating a bunt. Nobody out, and Burdett, fidgeting around on the mound, goes to the rosin bag to get a better grip. Caneal counts healing that bat around, waiting on Fidgety Lou. The 13-year pitching veteran now eyes the runner. Here's the pitch. Inside and low, it's ball four, and the Mets have two men on. Burdett walks Rod Caneal. That brings up Jim Hickman. That's the second walk given up by Burdett. Now the Mets have runners on first and second, nobody out, and Jim Hickman is on to hit. Jim hit a prodigious double off the fence of the center field bleacher in the third inning. Reached safely on an error and later scored in the sixth inning. He has 2-for-6 for the afternoon. He has driven 7 runs in this series. Now they look for the bunt. Here's the stretch by Lou Burdett and the pitch on the way. A full swing and a ground ball hits foul down the third baseline. Offensive strategy perhaps dictated at this spot to Casey by the fact that his pitcher, Ken McKenzie, has the number 4 spot in the batting order. Ron Hunt is on deck and then Duke Snyder. If Hickman were to bunt, they could pitch to Hunt, and if they got him out, have a base to put Snyder on, and the pitcher then would be coming up. So Casey has Jim Hickman swinging away. Now the stretch by Lou Burdett. Here's the pitch on the way, and the ball is bunted down the first baseline. A beauty of a bunt. The play goes to first in time for the out. So Casey is going to let Ron Hunt try and drive the runs in. Beautiful sacrifice bunt by Jim Hickman. Now here is Ron Hunt. Ron 0-for-2. He laid down a bunt and moved the runners in the sixth inning. Del Crandall going out to see Lou Burdett. Duke Snyder is the on-deck hitter. Right-hand hitter facing Lou Burdett. Now the Braves will bring the infield in. With a very fast man, Al Moran on third. They'll be watching for anything in this spot. Moran on third, Caneal on second, a 3-2 game, New York in front. Here's the windup, and the pitch on the way. A strike at the letters on a fastball by Burdett. Moran left. led off with an infield hit, and Rod Kneel drew a walk. Jim Hickman bunted the runners up. Now here we go, the windup and the pitch on the way, way over his head. Burdette perhaps anticipating they might have a squeeze play on, and he really fired that fastball and had it up high where it'd be a tough pitch to try and lay down. That one would have been impossible. One ball, one strike. Now Casey sends the sign to his bullpen. Right-hander Tracy Stallard warming up. Because Snyder is the on-deck batter, and then Ken McKenzie. The 1-1 pitch. Low and inside. It's ball two. 2-1. New York, 3 runs, 7 hits, and no errors. The Braves, 2 runs, 7 hits, and 1 error. Denny LeMaster and Bob Shaw continue to warm up for Milwaukee, and Tracy Stallard now for New York. Mets trying to sweep not only the doubleheader, but the four-game series. New York got 2 in the last of the ninth inning on Friday to win 5-4. Jackson beat Spahn 3-1 yesterday. 5 in the eighth inning of the first game today to win. Here's the 2-1 pitch. And it's a fly ball loop to short right field. Not too short. Under the ball is Ty Klein. He makes the catch. Here comes Moran. Here comes the peg. The run will score. Gets the run home with a fly ball to center field. It carried further than we first thought it would. Ty Klein, a left-hand thrower in center field, tried for a play at the plate. It was not close. The run batted in for Ron Hunt on the sacrifice fly, and the Mets now lead 4-2. Now Duke Snyder is up. First base is open with 2 men down, and they're going to put him on. Snyder will draw the intentional walk. Ken McKenzie, the pitcher, is due up next. Duke Snyder, who doubled to left field, driving 2 runs in to tie the game in the sixth inning. Now receiving the intentional walk from Lou Burdette and the Milwaukee Braves. Now McKenzie takes off his jacket in the on-deck circle. There's ball 4 outside intentionally, and that brings up Ken McKenzie. Rod Kneel on second, Duke Snyder on first, 2 men down, and McKenzie hitting. Ken, a southpaw hurler, will be hitting right-handed against Lou Burdette. This will be the first official time at bat this year for Ken McKenzie. Now Burdette, off the stretch, delivers. A ground ball hit foul in front of Cookie Lavagetto down the third baseline. No play. We'll bring you up to date on the scores of the other games at the end of the inning. Right here, we're in the last of the seventh. A run is in, and the Mets lead the Braves 4-2. Here's the pitch on the way. Bounce foul. He barely got a piece of that one. Strike 2. In the opening game, won by the Mets 8-5, Jay Hook went 6 innings. Ken McKenzie then stopped the Braves for 2 innings. Mets took the lead with 5 in the last of the 8th inning, and Roger Craig was summoned from the bullpen to protect the lead in the 9th inning. Roger had been the starter Friday afternoon and had pitched extremely well. In comes the pitch. Down around the knees and inside. 1-2. Now Lou Burdette standing motionless looking around. Rod Kneel is on second. Duke Snyder on first. 2 men out. Here's the pitch by Burdette, and he fouls it off. He tried to hold up on the swing,
grazed off the bat and up into the crowd, 1-2. Eddie Cranepool is crossed in the on-deck circle, hoping that McKenzie can keep it going. Eddie Cranepool was 2-for-3 in the first game, and he's 1-for-3 and has knocked in a run in this game. Next pitch by Burdett. Ground ball bounced slowly towards second, fielded by the second baseman Bowling, and he makes the play on Snyder at second base. Unassisted force play turned by Frank Bowling. The side is out in the seventh inning with one run, one hit, no errors, and two left on. At the end of seven, the score, the New York Mets 4 and the Milwaukee Braves 2. We'll check the other scores for you in a moment. First, though, let's pause for station identification.
You're tuned to WGY, 810 on your radio dial, Schenectady.
Bob Murphy with Lindsay Nelson and Ralph Kiner. Now, here are the scores of the other games. The Cardinals and Phillies split a doubleheader in Philadelphia. Phillies won the first game 4-3. It went 10 innings. Dallas Green, the winner in relief. The loser in relief was Ed Bauda. But the Cardinals gained the split by winning the nightcap 10-5. Harry Fanock, third pitcher used by the Redbirds, the winner, and the happy the loser. Home runs from the doubleheader by Oliver, Demeter, Flood, and Hope. The Reds beat Pittsburgh 8-3. Maloney all the way. McBean the loser. Clendenin and Pagliarone homers. The Dodgers won the opener of 2 from Houston, 11-3. Bob Miller the winner. Paranowski in the sixth. And Randy Cardinal was the losing pitcher. Bob Bruce against Pete Richard in the second game. The Cubs beat the Giants 4-1. A six-hitter by Ellsworth and Schultz to win the first game. And the second game is now tied 2-2 on a home run by Willie Mays in the last of the fourth inning. That's Cal Kuntz against Billy O'Dell. In the American League, the Yankees got 2 in the seventh inning and held on to beat Washington 7-6 with Bouton the winner in relief of Terry and Osteen the loser, Tom Trash homers. Detroit down the Red Sox 5-2 to salvage the finale of a four-game set. A Gary winning over Mon Bouquet with Cash and Tillman hitting home runs. A four-hit shutout for Steve Barber as the Birds beat Cleveland 7-0 in the first game. But a four-hit shutout by Dick Donovan in the nightcap enabled Cleveland to split. They won 2-0 in the second game. Robin Roberts, the loser. Another pitching gem turned in by Jim Rowland, a three-hitter. Minnesota beat the White Sox 7-0. In the nightcap, the White Sox lead Minnesota 5-0 after 5.5. And the Angels beat the A's 6-2 with Don Lee, the winner. Now Ty Klein is up as we go to the eighth inning. He tries to bunny his way on, pops it in the air. Back comes Sherry. He's got it. Ty Klein trying to bunt for a base hit, pops the ball in the air, and Norm Sherry wheeled and came back to take it. Norm couldn't waste a moment in picking that ball up because it wasn't real high in the air. One away and nobody on. Now the eighth. Frank Bowling has lined to center, fly to left, then struck out 0-for-3. He has a 10-game hitting streak in jeopardy as he faces Ken McKenzie here in the eighth inning. Now McKenzie winds and pitches off the outside corner. One ball and no strikes. Down in the bullpen of the Mets, young right-hander Larry Benaroff is warming up. Now McKenzie winding. In comes his pitch. That's over. A call strike. One ball and one strike. Foul ball. Back upstairs and out of play. To the count now on Frank Bowling, and now Norm Sherry is out in front of the plate. He wants to say something to Ken McKenzie. Mets have scored their runs in clusters in this game, these games today. They had a 5-run inning in the eighth in the opener and a 3-run inning in this game.
The ball is popped high in the air on the left side of the diamond. Al Moran signals for it in shallow left, and he has it. Well, the insurance tally picked up by the Mets in the last half of the seventh inning puts them in good stand here as Henry Aaron comes up. You hate to see a hitter like Aaron or a Matthews come up with anybody on base. Aaron has one for three. He singled to left center field in the sixth inning. Henry hitting at 347. Now McKenzie sliding in, delivers a high fly ball hit to right center field. Duke Snyder is calling for. Hickman is over there, and Hickman calls him off and takes it for the out. And McKenzie retires to side 1-2-3. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left on. Now at the end of 7.5 innings, the score, the New York Mets 4, and the Milwaukee Braves 2. And now a word from Viceroy Cigarettes.
We're the Brothers Score with a story about old John Henry.
When John Henry was hammered on the mountain, he had a filter cigarette he just bought. Well, he turned to his captain and he said, "Oh, Captain, this filter cigarette tastes mighty hot. Oh, yeah, it sure tastes mighty, mighty hot."
Well, the captain said to John Henry,
"What is this?
I'm going to bring you a Viceroy round. Cause as soon as you take that first big puff, you're gonna put all the other filters down.
Oh, yeah!
Put all the other filters down. Now you know that Viceroy tastes the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. They're not..."
Single to left field. Riding home, Duke Snyder with a tie-breaking run. Mets then picked up another run in the seventh, and they lead 4-2 here on the home base inning. Eddie has had a real good day. Here's the pitcher on the way, and it's fouled back upstairs. The Eddie Crane Pool, just 18 years old, and who at this time a year ago was at James Monroe High, can continue to play for about another week the way he has so far. Undoubtedly, they'll start drawing comparisons with Mel Ott at the same age. So few players break in that gun. He hit a triple in that opening ball game that went deep to right center about 450 feet. He laid down a beautiful bunt down the third baseline to move a runner. Pitch by Brissette. A drive hit down the left field line. They go foul. It is a foul ball into the seat. Jams right off the top of the wall and out to left field. Thought for a moment it was going in the seat. A grand slam homer in the eighth inning of the opener by Hickman was a real shot. Landed up on the roof. Two strikes. The infield and the outfield around toward right. Two strike delivery. Tried to get him to go for a bad ball. It was low. One ball and two strikes. Eddie hitting 320 on 8 for 25. Burdette pitches 1-2. Inside, pressing him back from the plate, and the count is even now, 2-2. During his high school days, Eddie Cranepool wasn't sure which way he wanted to go, basketball or baseball. He once scored 38 games in one ball game, 38 points in one ball game. Now Burdette checking in with Dal Crandall. Here's the 2-2 delivery. A ground ball hit hard down to third, taken on a knee-high hop by Eddie Matthews. The throw is taken by Norm Locker in time. One away. One away and nobody on. Coming on to bat will be Charlie Neal. Charlie had 2 for 4 and knocked 3 of the 8 runs in on the opening game. One hit and 3 times up in this one. Charlie, who has been in a batting slump, has hit the ball hard all afternoon. He hit 4 shots in the opener. 2 of them are caught. Burnett cranks up, delivers. Gets the outside corner for a call strike. In the ninth inning, the Braves will have Eddie Matthews, Norm Larker, and Lee May coming up against Ken McKenzie.
Charlie Neal waiting. Let's go, and it's off the outside corner. One ball, one strike. The atmosphere has been that almost of a World Series game, the way the crowd has reacted to every exciting play and every base hit the Mets have come through with. The 1-1 delivery. A slow grounder off the mound comes Looper Deck, fumbles it, picks it up, throws, not in time. Neal is on. Charlie Neal reaching, he tops a slow roller, Burdett in his haste to make the play, picked it up and dropped it, then picked it up again, and he'll be charged with an error. So Neal is a base runner, and the batter now is Norm Sherring. Norm, 0 for 3, has fouled out to the first baseman, been thrown out by Eddie Matthews, and bounced into a fourth play. Mets 4 and the Braves 2 were in the bottom half of the eighth inning. Now, Lou Burnett, who has gone all the way, fingers the Rosenbach. Norm Larker holding against Charlie Neal. This is Sherry, foul ball, that's going in the upper deck. A real shot off the bat of Norm Sherry, but he was way out in front. Tomorrow night, we'll be broadcasting from Connie Mack Stadium in Philadelphia. Lefty Don Rowe makes his first start for the New York Mets. His mound opponent tomorrow night will be a young right-hander who throws hard, Paul Brown. Now, Jerry switching the bat through. Wait. And lines one into center field for a base hit. Neal around second is on his way to third. The throw to third by Ty Klein. The slide is safe. Norm Sherry with a single to center field, and Neal goes from first to third. And now Al Moran comes on to hit with runners at first and third, one man out. Mets now have a total of 4 runs, 8 hits off Lou Burdett. Al Moran has 2 for 3. Moran singled to right in the third, and he beat out an infield hit to deep short in the seventh inning. Later came in to score on the sacrifice fly to center field by Ron Hunt. For New York, Snyder has driven 2 runs in with a double. Eddie Cranepool put the Mets in front for the first time, and Ron Hunt put frosting on the cake when their sacrifice fly that scored a run. Rod Gavil hitting ninth in the order and playing left field is beyond deck now. Here's the pitch on the way. Bounce foul off the plate, twisting in behind Cookie Lavagetto. Well, this has been quite a series, and a series that none of us or the fans will soon forget. Because each of the 4 games has been a gripping game.
Friday afternoon, the Mets had to get 2 in the bottom half of the ninth inning to win. Yesterday, Jackson beats Bond 3-1. The first game today, the Mets came from behind again, getting 5 in the eighth inning, with Hickman belting a grand slam. And this one is a tense one. 4-2, we're in the last of the eighth inning. Lou Burdett, veteran right-hander from Nitro, West Virginia, fidgeting around. It's his trademark. Now he's set. In comes his pitch. He tries to bunt on a safety squeeze and is fouled off. That was not the suicide squeeze. Neal was not running. He was holding up to make sure that the ball was down. So now Burdett has a 2-strike count on Al Moran. Frank Bowling in from second base now to the pitching mound to talk with Burdett. When this game is over, these two teams will have played 8 of their scheduled 18 ball games for the year. This coming week, the Mets play in Philadelphia 1 game, 2 games against the Cubs in Chicago, and over the weekend, 3 games in Pittsburgh, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon. We'll be broadcasting all of the road games, and the weekend games against the Bucks will be televised back to New York.
Now Burdett up in pitching position with the left side of the infield in. He threw him a knuckler, missing inside. 1-2. And the left side of their infield drawn in, Eddie Matthews and Sammy Samwell. On the right side with the right-hand hitter up, Bowling is back playing at halfway, and Larker holds against the runner. Pitching 1-2. Outside and low, now it's 2-2 on Al Moran. The outfield straightaway, the left fielder Lee May playing it deep. Two on Al Moran. Now the stretch by Burdett. Here's the pitch on the way. Ball three. It's outside and low. Now it boils down to a 3-2 on Moran. Rod Keneal waits on deck, and now Crandall wants to talk this one over with Lou Burdett as they try and figure out how the New York Mets will play. Norm Sherry, not a fast runner, is on first. Charlie Neal is on third. One man away. Mets hoping they can pick up another run with for Ken McKenzie to work with in the ninth inning. Now Burdett goes to the rosin bag, tugs on the bill of his cap, goes to the pitching slab, and has his sign from Del Crandall. Left side of the infield is in. He makes the stop. Here's the 3-2 pitch, and it's a drive toward left center field, up toward the alley of base hit. Rolling deep back toward left center field. One run is in. Sherry around third is scoring. Ball juggles deep in the outfield. The run around third is going to try and score. Here comes the relay throw to the plate. The slide. He's safe. Scoring, it may go as a triple, it could go as a home run. And the confetti is showering from the upper deck. Al Moran with a drive up the alley in left center field, and out by the barrier in deep left center, the ball was juggled by Lee May, the left fielder, and he'll be charged with an error. It'll go as a triple for Moran, two runs batted in, and an error for Lee May. Hard hit liner by Moran that split the outfielders and went deep back into the corner in left center field. All three come in to score. And the Mets now lead the Braves 7-2 in the last half of the eighth inning. Rod Keneal is up. Swing and a foul tip, strike one. Three runs are in, a five-run lead now for the New York Mets. Here's Burdett winding. The pitch to Keneal is outside and low. One ball, one strike. One and one the count on Rod Keneal. Well, the Mets have been booming the triples here on the Polo Grounds on this homestand against the Braves. Slow grounder top down the third baseline. It'll be hard to get him. Matthews throws and Keneal is on by a mile. A swinging bunt for a base hit by Rod Keneal. Well, when the Mets played the Braves out in Milwaukee, the Braves were getting swinging bunts for base hits. And now the fortune side of baseball has turned around and gone with the New York Mets. Have used the extra base hit to a fine advantage in this game. Snyder doubled in two runs. Moran tripled in two runs. A long drive by Jim Hickman that is going, going gone. A home run.
Hickman hitting a tremendous drive into the upper deck in left center field for a two-run homer, and the New York Mets lead the Braves by a score of 9-2. And Jim Hickman in this series, this four-game series, has now driven 9 runs across the plate. Hickman now has 11 RBIs for the young season, and he'll be right up among the leaders. Bobby Bregan moving to the mound, and the Mets once again have exploded for a 5-run eighth inning. They got 5 in the eighth inning of the first game today to win it 8-5, and in the eighth inning of the opener, it was Jim Hickman who belted a grand slam home run with a towering fly up on the roof of the Polo Grounds near the foul pole. This home run sailed high into the upper deck in left center field. This will be all for Lou Burdette, and we'll have a new pitcher coming in the ballgame. The extra base hit has driven in 6 of the 9 runs. In this series, Jim Hickman has 7 hits in 16 times at bat. He has driven 9 runs across the plate. In the opening game Friday afternoon, he had a double and a triple. In the Saturday game, he was 2-for-4, 2 singles. In the first game today, he had a grand slam home run. And in this ball game, he has a double and a home run. I would say that Jim Hickman, the personable, quiet man from Henning, Tennessee, has had a magnificent series. Denny LeMaster, a left-hander, replaces Lou Burdette now with 5 runs across in the last of the eighth inning. Burdette leading the game with 1 away, and so he worked 7 1/3. At the moment, has given up 9 runs, a total of 11 hits. He walked 3 and struck out none. Well, the Mets brought a 4-2 lead into the last half of the eighth inning. It started off innocently. Eddie Cranepool was thrown out by Ed Matthews. Charlie Neal got a life on an error charged to Burdette. Norm Sherry singled to center, and Neal raced to third. Moran then hit a line drive up the alley in left center for a triple, scoring 2. When Lee May mishandled the ball deep out in the left center field corner, he just kept flying and came in to score ahead of the relay throw from Frank Bowling. Rod Keneal then tapped the slow roller down the third baseline for an infield hit, and Jim Hickman, who has been on a real extra base hit binge, 2 doubles, a triple, and 2 home runs in this series, 5 of his 7 hits for extra bases, unloaded another home run. So now Denny LeMaster is the pitcher for the Braves. It's 9-2 in favor of New York. The left-hander who worked in the opening game pitches a fastball over for a call strike. The batter is Ron Hunt. It's enough to drive in 9 runs in one series, but when you're batting leadoff, it's really something. Now Denny LeMaster out of his windup. Here's the pitch. And the ball is a foul pop-up over toward the crowd. It'll be out of reach. Cliff Cook has come out of the on-deck circle to bat for Duke Snyder. Mets now with a big lead, and so Casey will rest Duke Snyder for the remainder of the game. A 7-for-16 series for Jim Hickman, 5 extra base hits and 9 RBIs. Outside and low, 1 ball and 2 strikes. Denny LeMaster is on the mound for the Milwaukee Braves in relief of Lou Burdette. He pitched 2 1/3 of relief in the first game. It was very good. Grounded foul hit in behind Cookie Lavagetto. LeMaster, a young left-hander, relieved Tony Kloninger in the opening game when Kloninger was knocked out of the second. LeMaster in 2 1/3 allowed no runs, no hits, walked none, and struck out 2. Well, the Mets have really used the long ball here in the Polo Grounds in this series against Milwaukee. Regardless of the final score of the game, it cannot reflect the type of game that it has been. It was a tense one right here until the last of the eighth inning. Next pitch by LeMaster, grounded foul again in front of Cookie Lavagetto. Count remains at 1-2. This will have to go down as the happiest weekend in the history of the young New York Mets.
Here's the pitch on the way by LeMaster, outside and low. Even count now on Ron Hunt, 2-2. The last time Ron came up, it was a 3-2 ball game in favor of the Mets. And he got a very important sacrifice fly to center field that scored the fourth New York run of the game. The 2-2 pitch. He holds up on the swing, and it's outside, ball three, a full count, 3-2. New York, 9 runs, 11 hits, and no errors. Milwaukee, 2 runs, 7 hits, and 3 errors. Braves stay overnight in New York. They take the early morning jet to the West Coast and play the Los Angeles Dodgers in L.A. tomorrow night. Mets stay overnight in New York and go down to Philadelphia tomorrow afternoon for a night game against the Phillies tomorrow night. LeMaster, working very slowly, looks in for his sign from Crandall. Now the 3-2 pitch, and it's low, ball four. Hunt draws the walk and goes down to first base. Del Crandall asking Stan Landis whether or not there had been a foul tip on the ball. Now Cliff Cook will bat for Duke Snider.
Your attention, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, for New York, batting for Snider. Number one, Cook.
Now Cliff Cook is hitting for the Duke. Snider had a big hit in this ball game. The Mets were trailing 2-0. And Duke lined a drive down the left field line for a double, driving 2 runs in to tie it. That's over on the inside corner to Cliff for a strike. Ken McKenzie will be up next. When McKenzie came in the game, the score was 3-2. The Mets got 3 in the 6th inning to come from behind and take the lead. They now have a 9-2 lead. Outside and high to Cliff Cook, 1 ball, 1 strike. And Del Crandall goes out to see Denny LeMaster. Braves were riding high after sweeping the 4-game series in Milwaukee. They then added a sweep of the series with the Phillies for a 7-game winning streak. And they came into New York this weekend 7-2 and occupying first place in the National League. But the New York Mets won on Friday, won on Saturday, won the first game today, and lead 9-2 in this one. Ron Hunt is on first with one man out. A high fly ball right down the left field line. It's going to go all the way, but it's foul. And that's up on the roof. Oh, did he ever get under that one? That ball goes up on the roof, and it was foul probably by about 10 feet. Cliff Cook has as much power as anybody. When he meets the ball just right, he can hit him out of Yellowstone Park. Cliff is the 8th man to hit here in the last half of the 8th inning. New York got 3 runs on 3 hits in the 6th, 1 run on 1 hit in the 7th, and they have 5 runs in on the 8th. Swing and a foul tip. Held on to by Del Crandall, strike 3. That brings up Ken McKenzie. Give him a hand. He has been superb in relief. Mack worked 2 innings of relief in the opening victory. He allowed no runs, gave up just 1 hit. Didn't walk a man and struck out 3. He has already worked 2 superb innings of relief in this game. For Ken McKenzie, it marks his 5th appearance this week. Ken has been working for a living. Here's the pitch on the way. A little bit low, 1 ball and no strikes. McKenzie up for the 2nd time, bounced into a force play, retiring the side in the 7th. Ken, a slender, bespectacled left-hand pitcher, bats right-handed. Relief pitcher Denny LeMaster delivers way inside. He made him wiggle. And the count, 2 balls and no strikes. If the Mets win this to sweep the series, they'll have their first 4-game winning streak in their young history, excluding spring training action. Last year, they won their 4th game of the year on the 6th of May. They have a chance to win number 4 here on the 21st of April. A slow bounder that goes off his ankle. It's a foul ball. Ball actually rolling in fair territory down toward Eddie Matthews, but it had come off his foot. Here's the pitch on the way, outside and high. Ball three, 3-1 now to Ken McKenzie. The story of this series, the real headliner, though, of course, has been Jim Hickman. Hickman, a ball player the Braves were openly trying to get in a trade, has had a tremendous series. That's over at the knees, a call strike, 3-2. And the first game Friday, a double and a triple. Yesterday, two singles. First game today, a grand slam home run. And in this ball game, a double and a home run. Pitching 3-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. So McKenzie has struck out. The Mets batted around. They scored 5 runs in the last half of the 8th inning. 5 runs, 4 hits, 1 error, and 1 left on. At the end of 8 innings to score, the Mets 9 and the Braves 2. Right now, let's pause for station identification.
WGY, your General Electric station, Schenectady, New York.
Now we'll be going to the ninth inning. Gil Hodges takes over at first. Cliff Cook is going to right field. Those are the changes for the New York Mets as we move toward the ninth inning. Fans, I'm sure you'll enjoy this year's edition of the New York Mets yearbook. On the cover is the sketch of Mr. Met, and inside the baseball prize, 100 pictures, including biographical and statistical data about your favorite Met player. Stories about Casey Stengel, the coaching staff, Sally, Cookie, and Ernie White. And, of course, pictures and stories about beautiful Shea Stadium, the new Stadiorama scoreboard and highlights of last year, interesting stories and facts, a complete page of players' autographs. It'll be a welcomed addition to your baseball library and good reference material throughout the year. To obtain your copy of the 1963 yearbook, spend 50 cents for each copy. The Met Yearbook, Polo Grounds, New York 39, New York. Remember, they are also on sale at Penn Station and Grand Central Station. Now we go to the ninth inning with the Mets in front 9-2, and Eddie Matthews is up against Ken McKenzie. Gil Hodges now playing first, and Cliff Cook is down right field. McKenzie winding, delivers right in there to Matthews, strike one call. Eddie has one hit and two times up. He singled to right in his last plate appearance. New York, 9 runs, 11 hits, no errors. They've had 7 left on. Bounced in the dirt on a curve, 1 ball, 1 strike. Mets have really used the long ball to a good advantage. When they were trailing 2-0 in the last of the 6th inning, Duke Snider doubled to tie it. Later, Al Moran tripled to drive 2 in, and Jim Hickman hit a 2-run homer. So the long hits have driven in 6 of the 9 runs. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Swung and missed. 1 ball and 2 strikes to Eddie Matthews. One ball and two strikes in the top of the ninth inning with Eddie Matthews hitting. Ken McKenzie out of his windup. Here's the pitch. He struck him out. A high hard one by McKenzie, and Matthews goes down swinging. In 2 innings of relief in the opener of this doubleheader, McKenzie struck out 3. He has now struck out 2 in this relief stint and retired 7 straight. And Mack is making his 5th appearance of the week. Norm Larker, the hitter, and the pitch is outside, ball 1. Al Moran's had a big game with 3-for-4, including a triple to drive 2 runs in. Swing and a miss, 1 ball, 1 strike on Norm Larker. Now McKenzie delivers 1-1 to Larker.
He has to duck away and take inside and high. 2 balls and 1 strike. Tomorrow night in Philadelphia, Don Rowe will be starting for the New York Mets against right-hander Paul Brown of the Phils. We'll be on the air at 8 o'clock from Connie Mack Stadium in Philadelphia. The 2-1 pitch. That's over at the knees. Strike two called. 2-2 on left-handed hitting Norm Larker. Mets trying to pen the first loss of the year on Lou Burdett. Lou had won two and lost none coming into the game. Inside at the letters, ball three. Full count, 3-2. One away and nobody on in the top of the ninth inning. Lee May is the on-deck hitter. Well, we've had a wonderful crowd, and they certainly have enjoyed themselves today. Crowd of over 27,000. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Ken McKenzie fans Norm Larker. That's number three for Ken McKenzie. He now has cut down 8 straight hitters in relief. Galen Sifko pitched very well over the first 6 innings of the game. Galen allowed 2 runs, just 7 hits, had to leave the game for a pinch hitter. The victory belongs to Galen Sifko if the Mets and Ken McKenzie protect the lead. And the Mets have built what was a slim lead into a big one. Lee May takes outside and low, ball one. This was a 4-2 ball game coming into the last half of the 8th inning. The Mets broke it open with 5 big wins in the 8th inning. They also had 5 runs in the 8th inning of the first game to win that one. Outside and low, 2-0 on Lee May. Frank Bowling 0 for 4 in the nightcap of the doubleheader, and so unless he gets another turn at bat, his 10-game hitting streak has been scissored by Galen Sifko and Ken McKenzie. That's over at the knees, a call strike. McKenzie now 2-1 on Lee May. May has 1 for 3, and that was a tremendous triple. Fly ball hit high in the air to short left field. Maybe a doubleheader victory. Under it is Al Moran waiting. He's got it. It's all over. And the Mets have swept the doubleheader for the Milwaukee Braves and swept the 4-game series. A tremendous doubleheader victory today for the New York Mets. They came from behind to win the first ball game, and they came from behind to win the second game. In winning the 4 games, they came from behind the late innings to win 3 of the 4. Only yesterday, when Al Jackson outpitched Warren Spahn in a 3-1 win, did the Mets go all the way in front of the ball game. In the ninth inning, no runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. Ken McKenzie turning in the 2 games, 5 innings of superb relief work. He worked 2 innings in the first game, allowed only 1 man to reach. 3 innings in the second game did not allow a man to reach base. Well, tomorrow night we'll be broadcasting from Philadelphia. Don Rowe against Paul Brown. The Mets will be gone for 1 week. They wind up their trip in Pittsburgh on Sunday afternoon, fly back into New York, and they open their next homestand 1 week from tomorrow night with the first night game of the season. Monday night, April 29th, the Los Angeles Dodgers will be coming into town. We'll have the line score of the second game of today's doubleheader for you in just a moment. On tap now, something bright and sprightly.
How can any beer be as brisk and delicious? A dry gold is a girl's best friend. Since I've tasted rye gold, I'm rather suspicious of just any brand. I'll take my stand and rye gold brand. It's extra dry to satisfy your thirst. Yes, I must recommend that bright, lively, good taste. It's beer as beer should taste. Rye gold is a girl's best friend.
Rheingold Extra Dry is Bruce's long, slow, costlier way for flavor that's brisk, bright, and clean clear through. It's beer as beer should taste. Dry tells you why.
My beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Think of Rheingold whenever you buy beer. It's not bitter, not sweet. It's a dry flavor treat. Want to try extra dry.
the second game of the doubleheader. The Mets win it on 9 runs, 11 hits, no errors, and 7 left. Milwaukee, 2 runs, 7 hits, 3 errors, and 4 left. The winning pitcher, Galen Sisko. Galen now has 1-1 and lost 1. The loser, Lou Burdette. Lou taking his first loss of the year. Burdette has 1-2 while losing 1. The heroes in the 4-game series, too numerous to mention. Winning 4 straight, the Mets came from behind in the late innings in 3 of the 4 games. They won the first game in the last half of the ninth on Friday afternoon on big base hits by Jim Hickman and by Ron Hunt. Yesterday afternoon, it was Al Jackson outdueling Warren Spahn for a 3-1 win. In the first game today, they came up with 5 runs in the last of the eighth inning as Jim Hickman, who put together a tremendous series, hit a grand slam home run. They again came from behind. They were trailing 2-0 in the second game when Duke Snider doubled to left field to tie the game. Eddie Cranepool singled to left, and that put the Mets in front to stay. Ron Hunt, who looked like a member of the old Gas House Gang of St. Louis, then knocked in a run to put frosting on the cake, and they broke it wide open in the eighth inning. Al Moran, who had a 3-for-4 ball game, tripled 2 runs in, and Jim Hickman once again hit the ball into the upper deck. Hickman wound up with 7 hits in 16 times at bat in the series. 5 of the 7 were extra base hits, 2 doubles, a triple, and 2 home runs. And in this 4-game series, Hickman knocked 9 runs across the plate. For those of you who joined us late, the winner in the afternoon game was Ken McKenzie, and he was a real star in this series. McKenzie, pitching 5 times this week, worked 2 innings in the first game today, allowed only 1 man to reach base, and in the nightcap in relief of Sisko after Galen left for a hitter, he worked 3 innings and retired 9 straight men. Better relief work you could never ask for than the relief work turned in by Ken McKenzie. Well, the wonderful people with Rheingold Extra Dry Beer hope you have enjoyed the big doubleheader this afternoon from the Polo Grounds. The Mets winning a doubleheader. They won the afternoon game by a score of 8-5. They won the nightcap by a score of 9-2. The paid crowd was 26,675. And that wraps up the first New York Mets doubleheader of the home season, brought to you by Rheingold Extra Dry and Viceroy Cigarettes. We certainly hope you enjoyed it. Remember, tomorrow night we'll be broadcasting from Connie Mack Stadium in Philadelphia. We'll be on the air at 8 o'clock to bring you all the action. Today's broadcast came to you through the courtesy of Liebman Breweries, Brooklyn, New York, brewer since 1837, and the Brown & Williamson Tobacco Corporation. B&W, the mark of quality in tobacco products, and is authorized under radio rights granted by the New York Mets solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. Any publication, reproduction, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express written consent of the New York Mets is prohibited. Right now, I'd like to remind you to enjoy Viceroy. Viceroy is not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Now, this is Bob Murphy saying so long for Lindsey Nelson and Ralph Kiner, our statistician, Matt Winnick, our engineer, Joe Vernum, and our producer, Joe Gallagher. And for Rheingold, Rheingold Extra Dry. Those two little words, extra dry, tell you why Rheingold is beer as beer should taste. Why Rheingold is preferred by more New Yorkers than any other beer. Rheingold is brewed from the very choicest ingredients. Brewed the long, slow, costlier way for flavor that is brisk and bright and clean, clear through. So fill up your glass with a nice cold, ice-cold, refreshing glass of good Rheingold Extra Dry. The final scores as the New York Mets sweep the Milwaukee Braves in a doubleheader. In the first game, the Mets 8 and the Braves 5. In the nightcap, the Mets 9 and the Braves 2. So long, everybody. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
810 on your dial, WGY, the General Electric Station, Schenectady, New York.